Hope arise, death is overcome, and you've already. never fail. Hold on to your hope, your triumphant fault is never failing. He's never failing. Let's lift up a roar of praise. Quench my heart, stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Worship, unbelievable praise. Let's just try it. Just lift your voice. Say anything. Just praise Him. Just praise the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Move in this place, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Never fail. He's never
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's get together for the Lord today. Stand up and shout for the Lord right now. Come on, let's give him all the praise that he deserves. How can we know? We know the Lord's going to keep our promise. We know it. We know it. Why? Because he professes to us that he is the Alpha Omega. He is the beginning and the end. How far does the Lord love us? As far as the east is from the west. Just unbelievable love. Unbelievable Lord. I was sitting there this morning, about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, in the calm of the day, waiting on the Lord to say the message he wanted me to, the word he wanted me to get out this morning. It came to me, Psalm 46:10. The Lord says, be still, for I am God. That says it all. That says it all. He is the exalted one. He is the King of Kings. He is the name above all names. Just, you know, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. We all know that. Sometimes we get lost in the shopping. We get lost in the gift giving. But everybody asks, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? I can tell you what I want. I want a double portion of what you got right there. If I can just get one and a half portion to be the man of God that you are, Pastor Wallace, I'll be great. Let's give it up for our pastor. We just don't give him enough praise today. Today, Pastor Mike is traveling to Africa. Keep him in his prayers for you. He'll be over there for 2 weeks, spreading the word, spreading the gospel. It's just great, great, great what's happening in the world today. You know, too much are we being persecuted in the world. The church is closing down, but we are the rock. We are the rock. We are the family of God. We are the body of God. This church, we are blessed. We are blessed in this church. I just can't wait to get here on Sunday. I don't rush through the week. They say don't rush, rush, rush. God says we rush too much. The only time I rush on Sunday is to get through those doors right there. You know, you come in here, you feel the Lord. Feel the Lord. He's on me so hard this morning that I don't want to run on because I tell you, this place, we are so blessed. I just can't thank everybody in this church enough. I just can't. This is my home. This is my family. Inspiration from everybody and what I went through and where I've got right now, I owe it to everybody in here. Through your prayers and your hope, it's unbelievable. You guys just lift me up. This church lifts me up. It should lift everybody up in here. I hope everybody in here feels the same that I feel. It just like the song says, promises, promises. The Lord does not fail to give us what exactly he promises, what exactly we need every day of this world. You know, all you got to do is hope. All you got to do is believe. Faith. Faith. That's all we need is faith. Faith to get you through anything. For the first time in my life, I'm at peace. I'm at peace in my soul. I'm at peace in my heart. And it's all because of the Lord. Because of the Lord. I'm getting a little emotional here, so just get bear with me. You know, not a nervous person. I speak in front of everybody in the world, but for some reason, when I come up here on this platform at this church, I get nervous. I think it's because the Lord's on me so hard. I don't know, but praise team, you guys do a wonderful job. You guys pump me up every Sunday morning, fill my heart with the Lord and with the Spirit. I hope it does with everybody here. Right now, we're going to bow our heads and pray to the Lord. Lord, we just come to you today to give you thanks, Lord, to give you thanks for everything that you do in our lives, Lord, for you never to fail to give us everything that we need, Lord. Lord, you never fail to keep every promise you've ever made to us, Lord. We are forever in your debt, Lord. Lord, we just ask that today you put your hands on Pastor Mike Blow and protect him and have him a safe flight and let him proceed to do wonders overseas in Africa. And let him bring the multitudes to the Lord, Lord, just like you have done everybody in this house. Lord, we ask today that you grant everybody in here a double portion of the Spirit, just like you did Elijah when Elijah went up to heaven, Lord. That's all we can ask for, Lord. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. All right. Now is the time for the greatest gift we can give to God, just about it, tithes and offering. So at this time, we would ask that you come forth and give your tithes and offerings.
Well, come on, let's give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Is he good? Come on. Is the Lord good? Amen. Does his mercy endure forever in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that next week is the last Sunday that we have to bring in our Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. Amen. So if you haven't brought yours in, please make sure you have it here by next week. Blessing kids all over the world. Let's break our record. Come on now. Let's do better than we've ever done before. Giving to the kids of the nations. Amen. Also, ladies, don't forget, we have a tremendous opportunity for you on the 3rd of December on a Friday night. Get your tickets. Ladies are hosting tables. Get your tickets for that event. It's called the Christmas Gala. And you don't want to miss that opportunity. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Get involved. Get connected. Have a wonderful time. Let me just say thank you to all of you for just making Pastor's Appreciation an incredible day for us. It's really fun to sit back and read notes. I read some notes that I just won't get rid of. Amen. I've got some cherished gifts over the years. I have in my office today an envelope with 11 cents in it that was given by a little boy about 20 years ago in this church. I said, you know what? I'll never be broke. I always have 11 cents because I refuse to spend that money. Amen. Such a blessing. And a little note scratched on the envelope. Some things are just priceless, you know? And so thank you for loving on Pastor Joy and I. We appreciate you. Love you so much. Thank God for what he has done in our lives through you. Praise the Lord. Also, on the 28th of November, we're going to celebrate with Tyler, our bass player. Come on, give it up for Tyler over here. And Kayla. Kayla Granger. They are uniting in marriage here pretty soon in the month of December. And we're just going to celebrate them and shower them on the 28th. There'll be a huge money tree back there that has no leaves on it. Amen. It's just naked, no leaves. You are the leaves. Amen. You get to bless them. And so the 28th of November, let's celebrate with them in the Family Life Center immediately following the worship service. There'll be some light lunch there. And we'll have a great time together. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand of praise, would you? Amen. Well, it's time to be ministered to powerfully today. Would you stand with me and would you give a warm welcome to my dear friend, Romanian missionary evangelist, Bart Willoughby. Come on, give him a hand, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, man.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Lord, as I come before you by apostolic right, Lord God, we tap into prophetic and apostolic veins. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the victory of the cross, Lord, that we enforce against our enemy. Lord, I subvert every subversive work of darkness. I bind the spirit of Jezebel and every spirit released against the church. And Lord God, I speak over your body the shifting that is necessary to bring them to the place of reception of grace. I thank you, O Lord God, that nobody will leave this place the way that they came. I decree, Lord, that your word says your word will not return void, but would accomplish that whereunto it is sent. So Lord God, I come against the enemy. And Lord God, I bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name, by the authority of Jesus' name. I come against every spirit of infirmity. I come against every lying spirit. I come against every spirit of confusion. I come against every spirit of death that would try to work itself in our bodies. And I thank you, Lord, for the victory, Lord, not only of the cross, but Lord God, that we enforce that victory. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, as we stand in our place, we remove Satan from office according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. I come against every prideful spirit and every everything that the enemy has tried to creep in and bring a precept, Lord, I uproot it and I take it out by the authority of Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I dispatch warring angels around this building and in this sanctuary. Angels of the Lord, sing praises of the blood of the Lamb as you make warfare for God's people. I declare that only victory shall perspire and contract in this house today. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, for doing what only you can do, for saying what only you can say. Spirit of God, I know that the spirit of the enemy has come against me even today, tried to block me, but Lord God, I remove that checkmate, and I thank you, Lord, that your spirit is released. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that nobody leaves this place the way that they came. And everybody who believe that, I want you to touch three people, and I want you to tell them my God is real. Touch three people and tell them my God is real. My God is real. People try to tell me or ask me, Brother Barr, why didn't you sit up in the front beside, on the front row with Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy? Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel worthy. Not necessarily because of them, but because I'm afraid that if I sit next to Zach, that he might stretch his arm out and slap me with a deltoid. So I'm appreciative of the Lord that I kept myself safe from harm today. If you, anybody, can I get a witness, somebody? I got Facebook, y'all. I've seen stuff. Every time I look at it, that's like looking at a mirror. Thank you, Jesus. It is with great grace that that my wife and I were able to be here. Our tickets to the States were canceled four times to get here throughout COVID and through the things that perspired. I honestly thought that there would be a time that I would never come back to the States. I thought that we would be there and never be able to come back. So I don't know when we leave in January. I don't know what will happen. The world is becoming a dark, dark place. And the spirit of Jezebel has been released into the earth. Control has become unprecedented in the state of the world today. But I am so thankful that today I stand behind this pulpit of my friend. And Dr. Wallace is more than just a friend to me. He was the avenue of God's deliverance in my life. And before God brought my wife into my life, I needed God to set me free from some things. And I thank God that I sat in that office back there and I spilled my soul to this man. And because of him and because of the grace of God, I'm free today. And I thank God for that. Don't ever take for granted the gifts that God gives you. Don't ever take for granted the pastors that God has given you. And he's more than a pastor. He's a presbyter. He is a man with an international anointing on his life. And there are very few people who can understand or even accept that, especially who go to a local church. But understand me, that this house has been shifted. This house just doesn't minister to a Hosky. This house ministers to the nations. And that is a great responsibility and gift that God has given you. I would like to ask my wife to come for a moment. Where are you at, babe? I know you're out there, but all I can see is the light. Holler at me if you hear me, babe. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to have to help her up there for a second. I didn't see you. All I saw was Jesus. Ain't she pretty? Yeah. I'm married up in the world. That's a true story. I just want, this church is, there are people in this church who have prayed for us. I mean, not everybody in this church, and this church has supported us in the past, and I feel it a moral obligation to give a report of what we are doing in Romania, to tell you thank you. Thank you for every dollar you ever gave to us. Thank you for every moment that God put you through, God put us through the recesses of your mind so that you would call our names unto the Lord. You have no idea how hard we have fought, the witchcraft that we have come against, the place where we are at is darker, in many ways darker than Africa, in the witchcraft that exists there. And so I would like my wife, just because she has a way of articulating things I cannot articulate, and I just like to ask her to greet you and just tell you what we've been doing. How many of y'all, is that all right with you guys? Because if it ain't all right, we're going to do it anyway. So I'm just letting you know.
Praise the Lord. It's good to see some familiar faces out there. It's good to be with you and worship the Lord with you this morning. Well, my husband asked me just to give you a brief update of some of the things that we are doing in Romania. About 2.5 years ago, we gave away most of what we had. We sold our home, and we moved over to the nation of Romania. And we thought we knew a lot about Romania, but we found out that there was still a lot to learn when we got there. Romania is a very diverse nation. There are bigger cities there. They're few and far between that have first world conditions like indoor plumbing, electricity, running water, things of that sort. Where the Lord chose to place us are in mostly villages where the living conditions are second and third world, which means we have mostly outhouses, not running water, sometimes electricity. But that's where the Lord chose to put us, and that's the area of Romania that we fell in love with. And to know what we face and to know what we do, I wanted to give you just a snippet of the religious history of Romania. The national religion in Romania is Orthodox, and it's not an Orthodox like we know here. Orthodox over there is a mixture of Catholicism mixed with paganism and mixed with witchcraft. The priest can be paid to give you a blessing, or if you're upset with somebody, you can pay the priest and he will curse you as well. And if you need healing in your body and you go to the priest, he will say, well, I don't have the power to heal, but I know a witch that I can send you to, and she will speak over you and you'll be healed. And there's no salvation in the Orthodox Church. They just believe that Jesus is just another saint that's on their stained glass windows in their churches, but they don't know him as their Savior. Their salvation is tied to their relationship with the priest, and the priest putting coins on their eyes when they die so that they can pass over the river Styx and pay the boatman, and getting last rites given to them when they die. So if you win a soul in Romania, the first thing they want to know is, well, am I going to go to heaven now? Because I'm not going to have a priest put the coins on my eyes. I'm not going to have my last rites. And where am I going to be buried? Because the Orthodox Church is the only place that has a cemetery. So what's going to happen to my body? And so when you win a soul over there, you're literally pulling them from the grips of hell. And you're pulling them not just from religious ignorance, but from cultural beliefs that really keep them bound. And in the past few years, there have been an emergence of other religions there, traditional Pentecostal and traditional Baptist. But once again, that's not Pentecostal and Baptist like we know Pentecostal and Baptist. They are extremely traditional, which means that if you have sinned before you got saved and got into their church, there may be things that you were disqualified from doing. For instance, if you were living in sin with someone before you were saved and you decided to get saved and get it right and get married, they would tell you, you can't have your wedding in the church. The bride cannot wear white. If you had a baby out of wedlock, they would refuse to bless the baby because they believe that that was a sin and that baby's cursed and you're not allowed to celebrate in the church. And for some people, there are sins that they will disqualify you from even walking through the doors. Women, there are possessions, and they're not allowed to speak. They're not allowed to preach. They literally sit on one side of the church. They cover their heads with no makeup on. They have to wear skirts, and the men sit on the other side, and the women are not allowed to make a sound. And so that is the atmosphere that we go and we minister in. And so the ministry that God has given us there is multifaceted, because the first thing that we found out is if we're going to minister them to them spiritually, we've got to meet their physical needs. So we started with humanitarian aid. We looked and we saw needs that the people had that would enable us to open up a venue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. So we started by getting a transformer for a village that had no electricity, and it was winter. A lot of them were freezing in their homes. They had no gas. They had no way to keep warm. And we got that transformer, and it enabled an entire village to have electricity. We found a farm that had been destroyed, which might not sound like much, but the farm was the only source of income and the only source of food for one other entire village. And so we were able, by gifting and by prayers, to fund the rebuilding of this farm. So we have a village that's now been put back to work and that is now able to put food on their table. And we also recognize that there were a lot of people there that are still in horses and carts when they travel. They can't get to a doctor. Sometimes the nearest doctor is an hour and a half, 2 hours away. So we started medical missions where we're going into people's homes and providing medical care for them for free that they could not afford to get to. So we have been fortunate enough to care for people with cancer and give them treatments in their home, IV treatments. We've done wound care. We have gone in and communicated with doctors for people that were bedbound and things of that sort. So God is really opening that up. And we've also now got access to a clinic where we're working hand in hand with doctors that come in and provide free medical care for the villagers on an as-needed basis. So we're excited about that. We also have an internship program where young people come from all over the world and they will spend an extended period of time with us, whether it be 1 month or 3 months or longer, depending on what type of visa that they can get. And when those young people come, we teach them the foundational basics of the Word of God. And then we take them to the villages with us so that they can implement what they've learned. So we teach them, this is how you pray for the sick. Now, let's go pray for someone. This is how you cast out a demon. Now, that man over there needs deliverance. So we give them the opportunity to put hands on and use the practicum that we've given them, because there's nothing that does more for a young person than to feel the power of God working through them to touch somebody else. We've watched so many lives change through that internship program. When the pandemic hit, we were a little bit frustrated because the Orthodox Church was the only church, the only religious organization allowed to do anything. All other religious organizations, shops, everything else was closed. And so we were questioning the Lord, how do we minister in this capacity? And we had some of our interns that were very frustrated because they wanted to continue learning. So we had a couple of families and we said, you know, come to our house on a Monday night. We'll continue the schooling that we're doing with you. We just won't tell anybody we're doing it because it's against the law in Romania. But the first Monday night, we opened up for those young people to come. We had over 40 people show up that were hungry to learn about the Word of God. These are people that don't know what it's like to worship. They don't have praise and worship like you have here. They don't engage in that. They believe lifting your hands is worldly. They believe that shouting to the Lord is worldly. Clapping your hands is worldly. So we began to teach them what the Word of God says about worship. And we watched as pastors that have been in churches for 20 years would begin to worship the Lord with tears streaming down their face. And the power of God hit the room so hard that they could not even stand. And they would say, for the first time, I can feel God. For the first time, I know that God is real. And we began to introduce them to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We told them, there's more than what you've got. And so we began to minister to them on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We began to lay hands on them. We watched them as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, tears streaming down their face. And they would go back and tell their churches, and then their churches would invite us to come. And they would say, we want this Holy Spirit that you have. And so we would go and pray for pastors and entire congregations to get filled with the Holy Ghost. We were baptizing people in bathtubs. We were doing everything that we could within the confines of what we had to further the kingdom of God. And God moved mightily during that time. And we realized that what we needed to do was we needed to turn that schooling into something that was more permanent and more full-time. So we opened up the School of the Spirit. And the School of the Spirit is unique in that it allows not just men, but also women and young people to all come, to all learn about the Word of God, and to learn that they are called to do something for the kingdom. Most of the women there have never had anyone look into their eyes and tell them God has called you for a specific purpose. Most of them don't have enough education to even be able to read the Word of God on their own because they never graduated. And so it's a foreign concept to them to hear that God can use them right where they're at, that God has given them specific abilities. So we've been so fortunate to be able to speak into the lives of these people and unlock the giftings and the callings that God has placed upon their heart. And we realized as we were going out into the highways and the byways and we were getting people saved and we were compelling them to come, that we didn't have anything for them to come to. Because when you get the prostitute saved, she's not welcome in the churches there. When you get the drug addict saved, they're not welcome in the churches there. And so my husband and I began to fast and pray, and the Lord put it on our heart that we needed to open up one of the first free churches that these people would be that the people had ever seen. There are a few free churches in the larger cities, but there's none of them within a two-hour radius of where we're at right now, where people can go that have had a past, where people can go that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that they can say so about it. And so when we get back, we're already working with a team of people, but we're going to begin our first church plant. And it's going to be a free church where people can come regardless of their past, where people can come and be saved, be healed, be delivered, be transformed by the Word of God, where they can lift their hands and worship. And so we are so excited and we're so thankful for everything that the Carpenter Shop has done to enable this vision to come to pass. And we couldn't do it without you. There are many of you that have sent gifts to us. There are many of you that have just messaged and say, hey, you came up on my radar today, and I just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you. And that may not sound like much, but when you're like us and you're stuck in a country where nobody speaks your language and you get a message like that, it's literally life to your bones. And so we just want to say one more time, thank you. We love you. It is a blessing to know you, and we couldn't do what we do without the support that you give us.
Please excuse me for a moment. I can't afford a doctor bill. Lord, I apologize for that. There are a few times where the Lord uses me, actually more than a few, hopefully, but there are times where the Lord uses me, and there's times where I step into different offices of the fivefold ministry. Sometimes, at the time of my life, I walked in a pastoral gift. There are times in my life where I've walked in an evangelical gift. The Lord has moved me more into an apostolic role with the birthing of the churches where we are going. But I'm not in my territory. This is not my territory. I can't take the head of this principality. I can wound it, but it belongs to him. And so I have come here as a second man. I will step into the prophetic office this morning. And most people think that the prophetic office is to give everybody a word and make everybody feel good and then grease them up like a pig at a county fair. But that is not what a prophet is for. But as I step, I'm going to preach prophetically to you this morning. Can I be real with you today? Can I just talk with you this morning? I'm going to talk with you a little bit. I'm going to preach a little bit. Maybe we'll laugh. Maybe we'll cry. Some of you may be offended at me. I'll be honest with you. If nobody gets offended at me in this room, I would consider myself to have failed to deliver the word of God that God has given me. There are people who will appreciate this. People will, their spirits will buck against it. And then those, you will go home and you will chew on it, and it will be food for you for the next couple of weeks and hopefully even there longer. Every year, my wife and I, we fast. Now, do I have freedom of movement down here? Okay. I wanted to respect the cameras. Every year, my wife and I, we fast the month of January every year. For the last 4 years, we have fasted the month of January. And when I say fast, I mean water fast. We water fast unless our bodies are too weak to fulfill the work that we do. And then sometimes we'll take a little apple juice. In this particular fast, in January of this year, I was very discouraged. When I say I was praying and I couldn't get a word from God, I mean I would literally knock my head against the wall trying to get a word from God. Zach, I couldn't get a word from the Lord. And when I was 15 years old and 16 years old and 17 years old, more so 16, 17, the Lord would give me prophetic dreams at night. And I kid you not when I say my prophetic dreams were so vivid. The Lord would show me what was going to happen the next day, and to the T, what I dreamed of would happen. I feel like I was living deja vu every day of my life. It got to the point, Mama, where I literally thought I was losing my mind. I had nobody to mentor me. I had nobody to teach me what it was. And so I prayed to the Lord. I said, God, please take this away from me. It scares me. I said, I feel like I'm losing my mind. Take it away from me. And the Lord granted that petition. And over the years, over the last 25 some odd years,
I could tell you that the amount of dreams I had have been extremely rare and usually have been emblematic or prophetic. And I had four dreams in the midst of this 30-day fast. And I am very, very, very careful not to preach that I had a premonition or a dream or something. That's not what I'm here for. But I do know that if the Lord speaks, the Lord speaks. And I do know the voice of the Lord when he does speak. And I was praying, and the Lord, I was dreaming, and there were three of these dreams that I cannot tell you anything about the dream except for a voice that spoke in the dream. And every dream was different, but I had no recollection of the particulars of the dreams. All I remembered, the only thing that I remembered when I woke up was a voice that spoke. The first time it happened, I was like, huh. Second time that it happened, I was like, And then the third time that it happened, I went to my wife, because my wife, when I say my wife is a prophetess, if my wife gives you a word from the Lord and tells you you've got a birthmark on the back of your knee, if you didn't have one, by the time you go to the bathroom and pull down your pants and check, there'll be a birthmark on the back of your knee. That's how God uses my wife. I have never seen her miss it. Every time, almost every time God gives me a word, very few people give me words from the Lord, and she's been right on every time. And so I submitted these dreams to her for judgment. And she came back and she gave me her list of reasons why she believed it was prophetically accurate. So I went through the proper schemes. I also submitted it to several other apostles in the earth that I respect, and they're my friends. The spirit that spoke to me in the dream said that the spirit of Jezebel has been released into the earth. Now I want you to stop here, and I want you to follow me in scripture. And because I said to the Lord, God, I don't understand this. I told my wife, I said, I don't know what the Lord is talking about. The spirit of Jezebel has been released into the earth. But I do know this, is that Jezebel was not named after the demonic spirit, the demonic spirit was not named after the woman, but the woman was named after the demonic spirit. Now, if you talk to Pastor or Bishop Tudor Bismarck, he will tell you that the spirit of Jezebel is one of the three chief demonic princes in the earth, and the spirit of Jezebel is over witchcraft. So I'm going to talk to you. The Lord began to put upon my spirit, and I was very, very hesitant to preach this message. And I had a narrative sermon. I wanted to preach a narrative sermon that would have made you feel, I would have made you cry. Some of y'all would have been like hugging each other. It was going to be good. It was going to be one of those top-notch narrative sermons. That's my venue. That's my avenue. But the Lord is challenging me to step out of my comfort zone to deliver this message to you. And I was up late last night, and I was up very early this morning before the sun ever came up. And I was writing out my notes, and I transferred my notes, and those notes were lost as soon as I got here. I went up to open my notes, and bam, they were gone. And so I know that it is the will of the Lord for me to preach this message, because the devil don't like it. I don't think things like that happen by accident. I've had too many run-ins with the spirits of the enemy. I know the tactics of the devil. And so I've come today, and I want you to follow me in the book of 1 Kings. I'm going to read one verse. It's not necessary that I read all verses, because I'm going to go over a narrative over the life of Jezebel. I'm going to give you a parallel of what is happening in the earth today, what is coming against you, what is about to happen. I'm going to preach prophetically to you today, and I want you to follow me. I need some of you to take notes. Do you know why you should take notes? Because a short pencil is better than a long memory, and none of you are going to remember this. Now, if it's being recorded, I want you to get this recording, and I want you to play it over and over again, not because I'm a good preacher or a good communicator, but because I know that the Lord spoke this to me, and I will deliver it as the Lord told me to deliver it. 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 31. If you're reading from a good Bible, it's probably the English Standard Version. That's the one I'm going to be reading from. And it's going to be on page 1000. No, never mind. 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 31. I'm sure that they're going to put it up on the screen. Now, it may be a different version than what I have, but I prefer the English Standard Version because it's not a transliteration. It is a translation directly from the Greek and the Hebrew. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31. If you're there, say, you look good, Brother Bart. I don't think enough people are in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 31. If you're there, say, you look good, Brother Bart. You know what? I never get tired of hearing that. Thank you so much. And as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him.
Lord, as I come before you in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that the blessing has already been upon this word. And I thank you, Lord, it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that whereunto it is sent. I thank you, Lord God, that there have been intercessors who have called forth your spirit into this place. I thank you, Lord, for warriors. And I thank you, Lord, that you will summon and you will stir within the hearts of every person here, Lord God, to do the work of the kingdom of God like they've never done before. Lord, to lift up and to take up the mantle, Lord, to wear the diadem and to take the authority that you have given them according to Ephesians chapter 2, which decrees that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places above every principality and every hierarchy of darkness. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your church authority, Lord God, to change culture. Lord, the culture doesn't change us. Lord, we ain't about black and we ain't about white. We ain't about brown and we ain't about yellow. We are about the culture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you have amassed us, assembled us together, Lord God, to be your cultural delegates and your advocates in the earth. Lord, as we stand in you, Lord God, as great intercessors, and we become your mouth and we begin to bring the glory of the Lord into the earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. You told us to do it because you needed us to do it. And I thank you, Lord, that the decrees that we made and the proclamations that we make in faith and in your will, Lord God, and by your spirit, we thank you, Lord God, that we make manifest the wisdom of God to the principalities who think that they rule. But Lord, I thank you, Lord God, we are seated with the Most High God, and we have authority, Lord God, over every work of darkness. In Jesus' name, and everybody who believes it, say, come on, somebody. The daughter of Ethbaal, meaning with him is Baal. Jezebel was the daughter of the king of the Sidonians or the Phoenicians, and they were a neighboring kingdom, and they were one of the most wicked kingdoms that were on the face of the planet, Tyre and Sidon. As a matter of fact, I believe it is Ezekiel who references the prince of Tyre as being one of the most wicked places in the world, even so much that Satan in the earth had taken his earthly throne there. That was the one place where Satan could spew wickedness into the earth. And this man, Ethbaal, had killed his brother. His brother had been the king of the Sidonians, and he was not the king. He was the high priest of Baal. And when he decided that he was going to take the throne, he slit his brother's throat. He usurped the throne, and his name means with him is Baal. And you must understand, Baal was the fertility god. Somebody say fertility god. We're going to get interesting here this morning. Fertility god and the king of the pantheon of the gods, or the collection of the gods of the Canaanite regions. Baal, meaning owner or lord. I need you to follow me on this, on the meanings of his name. Owner or lord. He was called prince, lord of the earth, lord of rain and dew, the storm god as he who rides on the clouds, and Baal Shamen, the lord of the heavens. The word Baal was a name that was not the name of a god. It started out as just the name of reference to a higher potentate or to the name of God in general. Even the Israelites used the name Baal. Even whenever David had came and fought against the Philistines, and there was a sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, he named the name of that place Baal Perazim, or the God of all breakthrough. It was not syncretism in Israel. The word Baal was not a bad word. It wasn't until things had progressed and transpired over hundreds of years that that name began to be attributed to what we know as Baal in the Old Testament. Before, his name was Hadad. He was the king or the god of the Assyrians and almost all of the Canaanite peoples. And whenever the Assyrians and the Canaanite peoples had taken over the what we call the land of Canaan and it populated the land of Canaan, they changed the name of Hadad to Baal, which they would just call him, you are the God. You are the only God. There is no God besides you. You are the Lord of the heavens. And he looks almost and has almost the same attributes to Jehovah. But Baal was a god of wickedness. And whenever they worshipped him, they would use prostitutes. Whenever they worshipped him, they would sacrifice children. Whenever they worshipped him, they would do all lewd acts of bestiality and all things that were ungodly. And his symbol was the symbol of a cow. Remember, I said this. His symbol was the symbol of the cow. The bull being the symbolic
animal of Hadad or Baal was a similar emblem of Aaron's sin. Follow me now. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and they had come into the promised land, and they come to Mount Sinai. Somebody say Mount Sinai. I need you to follow me on this. Do I have water? Because I feel like I have got a hairball stuck in the very back of my throat. I guess not. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I got spit. So Baal, going back in here, you know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they went and Moses received God's law on top of the mountain. 40 days and 40 nights, he received the fullness of the Lord's law. And whenever he received the fullness of God's law, he came down from the mountain. How many of y'all know what happened? All of a sudden, he came down, and the Lord says, get down to those people that you brought up out of Egypt. He didn't say, my people. He said, get down to those people that you brought up out of Egypt. And he went down there, and he saw that they had begun to do whoredoms. They began to play. They began to be sexually lascivious and doing all sorts of horrible things. And what did they do? They built a god. Aaron fashioned and formed a golden calf. Somebody say a golden calf. And this is what Aaron said. He said, behold, oh, bless your little tiny heart. Bless your soul, brother. I thank you so much. Oh, could you warm it up for me? No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. I need it to be 74 degrees. And Aaron made this golden calf, and he came down, and he said this to the children of Israel. He said, behold, the gods, the El or the Baal, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And what it was they wanted the freedom from the Egyptians, but they didn't want to have to live by the law. They wanted the freedom and they wanted the grace. Everybody wants what God can give them. Everybody wants to be healed. Everybody wants to be touched. Everybody wants the blessing. Hallelujah, I got my Escalade. Well, bless your heart. Can you live right? Because they didn't want to live right. They didn't want to do what was holy. They didn't want to toe the line. They didn't want to give up their lasciviousness. They didn't want to give up their iniquity. They didn't want to give up the things. They allowed breaches in their wall. And that spirit that has been released into the earth is searching for a breach in your wall. You cannot afford to go a day without praying. You can't afford to go a day without the diet of God's word. You can't afford to go a day because that enemy is against you. It has been released against your family. It has been released against your church. It has been released into your government. It has been released into your Oval Office. It has been released into every place, not in your Oval Office, but every Oval Office in every of the world. That spirit has come upon the earth. You will not find your Savior in a Democrat or a Republican. You will not find your rescue in a Libertarian. You will not find a political Savior. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring us through this. I don't care what ticket you ride on. Don't preach to me your politics. I'm about the kingdom, and I'm about my king. I don't put my faith in men. Too many men have let me down. Thanks a lot, Zach. I'm just lying. I'm lying. That's not true. I'm picking on Zach today. Come on, somebody. You got to give the man a hard time. He ain't got a wife to give him a hard time. Somebody got to give him a hard time. And they raised up, and then this is what Aaron said. He said, behold, the God that brought you up out of Egypt. And basically what he was doing is he was doing a switcheroo. And he was basically switching Hadad for Jehovah. And he says, the thing is, they have a lot of the same properties. You can even use even some of the same terminologies in the words. And it looks like the same worship until it gets down to the nitty-gritty. And they ain't worshiping the same God that we worshiping. There's a lot of people who go to church, but the church ain't in them. Amen. There's a lot of people who go and they smile and they live an alternate lifestyle, or they're living in sin, they're cheating on their spouse, and they feel so comfortable sitting down in a pew, and they're in the church, but the church ain't in them. The church ain't a part of who they are, and they think that they're okay with God. They're worshiping. They have been deceived by a deceiving spirit, and they lift up their hands and they say, "Go with me to Dallas to the biggest and the largest homosexual church in the United States." And they have their worship. They lift their hands and they think that they're worshiping God. Got Jesus up on a cross, and your God looks just like our God, but it ain't our God. It morphs, and it's a God that tolerates sin, but my God does not tolerate sin. I'm not up here preaching against anybody, but I'm telling you, sin is sin, and this enemy released into the earth wants to make you think, well, I don't have to go to church. I can just sit down in my rocking chair and watch it on TV, and I don't even have to put on pants. Put your pants on. Put your pants on. Nobody wants to see that. Put your shirt on. You're scaring children. And go to church. Forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves together, even more so as you see the Son of Man approaching. 20 years ago, I was in my early 20s, and I knew them. I knew these two ladies. I knew them. When I say I know them, I mean I've eaten bread at their table. I've had fellowship with them. They were driving around Loop 635 in Dallas, and they were both elderly women, mother and daughter, but they were both elderly. One was extremely elderly, and the other was elderly. And they were driving around the loop around Dallas, and it was one of them old, you know, those old good old cars, like the Oldsmobile cars, those 84 Oldsmobile 98s, the big ones, like the one I used to drive when I was in high school. And they were driving that car, and all of a sudden there was a hitchhiker, and in the state of Texas, you pull over a hitchhiker, it can be up to a $5,000 fine because so many people were killed by hitchhikers. And this was 20 years ago, and they pulled over without even realizing what they was doing, and before they could jump on the gas, hitchhiker jumped in their car, and she was thinking, oh my God, what did I just do? And so she got extremely nervous. She adjusted her mirror to look at him. Mama was in the passenger seat, and the stranger was in the back. He didn't look like a murderer. He didn't look like a person who was unkept or not put together. And so the only thing she knew what to do that would make her feel peace is she started talking about Jesus to this guy. She said, I'm going to win him to the Lord. And so she started talking to him about Jesus, right? And as she's talking to him about Jesus, this man is agreeing with everything that she says. And all of a sudden, she feels a peace come upon her because this man is agreeing with things that only a believer would know, because she's talking about spiritual things. And then they get to talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, yes, Jesus is coming back. And he says, yes, ma'am, he is. And she says, yeah, he's coming back soon. Hallelujah. He said, yes, ma'am, he's coming back sooner than you think. That even now the trumpet is at the trumpeter's lips. And she looked in the mirror, and he disappeared. Disappeared, vanished into thin air. No trace that he ever existed. So she goes straight up nuts, and she's driving all over the road. I know the lady. She's with the Lord now, but I knew this lady. She's driving all over the road, freaking out. And all of a sudden, the police officer pulls her over. And he pulls her over. She goes to the side, and she's still shaking. And Patty, who was her name, who was driving, Patty rolled down the window. And the officer says, ma'am, license and registration. She's fumbling to get it together. She don't even know what she did with it. He says, ma'am, have you been drinking? He says, no, sir, I haven't been drinking. I promise, officer, I haven't been drinking. He said, why are you driving like a drunk man all over these roads? She said, officer, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. And he said, try me. And she told him the whole story. And he handed her back her license and registration. He says, ma'am, you're free to go. You are the eighth person that I have pulled over today that has told me the exact same thing. 20 years ago, the trumpet was at the trumpeter's lips. I'm telling you, we are close to the return of the Lord Jesus. How many of you feel it? I mean, you don't even know what's going on, but you know something just ain't stirring the Kool-Aid here. Something just ain't right. I'm coming here to tell you what is not right about it. It's the spirit of Jezebel that has been released against the church. And the word of the Lord says that spirit, whenever it comes in, also can be called the spirit of the Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, but the spirit of the Antichrist. Hold on, I'm going to ask you a question. Real quick, raise your hand up in this room if you're tired. Right now, raise your hand up if you're tired. Right now, raise your hand up if you're tired. Be honest, raise your hand up if you're tired. The Bible says in the last, and how many of you, raise up your hand up if you know why you're tired. If you have no reason to be tired, but you're still tired, raise your hand. Okay, the word of the Lord says in the last days that the spirit of the Antichrist will wear out the saints. And its whole purpose is to steal your strength, to put you through so much that you want to throw in the towel and you will say, you know what? I don't even feel like going to church no more. There are people that should be sitting beside you today that are no longer here. There are people that have walked away and they are not going to another church. They're not going nowhere. That enemy has crippled them and has brought them to a place where they no longer know the Lord because they had breaches in their walls. I've come to tell you today, cut the breach out of your wall. Mend your nets. Get right what you need to get right. If you got porn in your life, get it out. If you have got hatred and unforgiveness in your life, get it out. If you're listening, looking at horoscopes or doing a play, if you're playing games with the devil, get it out your life, because this enemy is a master at penetrating the breaches in your life. And when you think that you're strong and you ain't going to fall and you're going to fight and you're going to be okay, but all of a sudden you've been cussing your kids out and cussing your family out and you got an anger problem and you're still mad at your daddy because he was raised in you as an alcoholic, you've got to let it go. The purpose of the enemy is to blur the lines of what it means to be a Christian. The purpose of the enemy is to blur the lines of what really is worship. Because you got a lot of people that they'll raise their hands to a God they don't serve. You got a lot of people who will sing a song to a God they don't serve. Over 100 years ago at Azusa Street, a prophecy came forth. And it says 100 years from now, my people will worship a God they don't pray to. We have come into the day where we live a double life, or we are too lazy to really do the work of the kingdom of God. Moving on, because I know the mind can only comprehend what the seat can endure. The sole purpose of this spirit is to destroy all relationship with Christ and to remove all things that are God from the land. Jezebel means, the name Jezebel means, has several meanings, but it means non-cohabited or unhusbanded. And what this spirit longs to do is it longs to infiltrate your life and to separate you from your God. And it is so smart. You listen to me right now. The devil is smarter than you. You had better know how to pray. You had better know how to rend the heavens. You had better not be too lazy, because that spirit wants to. I've watched it. I've been in religious churches and I go in there and those people, they dangle their salvation in front of them like carrots. Now, I'm not talking about eternal salvation or I'm not talking about once saved, always saved. I'm not Baptist. But I do believe that there is a place where you come to in God where you know that you're saved and you walk with God and you can say, like the old psalmist says, I've come too far to look back. Oh, come on now. My feet have walked through the valleys. I climb mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I know. And there comes a time where you say, I ain't turning back for nothing. But that spirit is going to try you. That spirit is going to come against the very essence of who you are. What it wants to do is it wants to make you so lazy that you don't pray. And then it wants to slightly put a wedge between you and God. And when that wedge will get larger and larger and larger, look around you. Where are they? Where are the ones who should have stood beside you the whole way? Where are they at, Zach? Where are them people at? That spirit has taken them from the kingdom. No, that's not possible, Brother Bard. We don't believe in that sort of thing. Well, won't you come pay a visit to me in Romania and I will show you what witchcraft can do. I'll show you. I know the power of darkness. And I've come to tell you, it is released upon your nation. It wants the old landmark. You kidding me? Shama stood in a pea patch. And people think, what was the pea patch? But it wasn't the pea patch per se. Even though there's almost as much protein in lentils as there is in a steak. And it was the sustenance of Israel. But that was the thing. The thing, it was Lehi. Is when he was standing in Lehi. And the devil wanted Lehi. And what was Lehi? Lehi was the place that if you go back a couple hundred years, there was a great judge who fought for Israel and fought that ground and took the jawbone of a donkey and slew thousands of the invading army and protected Israel. And that same enemy was coming, that same devil was coming back again. Baal. Baal worship. It tried to infiltrate in the time of Moses. And then all of a sudden, there was a man named Ahab who decided to take a wife called Jezebel, uninhabited or unmarried or not able to take a man because she would not submit to a man. He did not rule the earth. She ruled through him. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me get back up here. I knew this wasn't going to be a shouting message, but that's okay. That's okay. I didn't come for your shout. But its purpose is to remove all things God from the earth. The name meaning where is the prince. This is the funny thing about the name Jezebel. It means where is the prince. It will make you wonder where your God is. It first means where is the prince. And then it means Baal is my prince. Now hold up now. The very function of the Jezebel spirit is one, to make you wonder where your God is. Two, make you wonder if your God is for you. And then three, like I was when I was a pastor, I didn't even know if God was real. There was a time where all hell was coming against me. I didn't have the prayer life that I should have. I was pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And there was a time where all hell was breaking loose. And it did not stop for months and months and months and months. And I literally said, God, are you even real? Are you even there? Do you even exist? Because I thought he'd forgotten me. And I was a pastor. You think, oh no, I would never say that. I would never do that, Brother Bart. Well, can you do me a favor? Can you take down your halo and be real? Because this is real. Do you think it's going to get a better in America or in the world? You listen to me. The America that you knew is gone. It will never come back. It will never come back. Your hot dog ballpark, all the things that you, your American apple pie, everything that represented America to you, you're being fat and happy and everything else, it's gone. And not only is it gone, it's not going to get any better. The darkness is against us. Mama, I love you, but the darkness is against us, and it won't get no better. So what do I do, Brother Bart? Well, first of all, before I tell you what we're going to do, I'm going to tell you what else you are to expect. Somebody say amen. Amen. First of all, it will make you wonder where is God. And then its sole purpose is to get you to lower the standards of your faith, to lower the standards of your morality. It's to get you to not turn off when that thing pops up on your screen and says X, 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 X. Its purpose is to get you, brother, it is your purpose to get you in your mind to wander from your wife. Your purpose, brother, is to get you to look at things you should not look at and imagine things until you have a stronghold in your mind. Woman, it's that enemy that tells you your husband does not understand you and he is not emotionally there to support your needs. Your love tank is dry. He doesn't really love you. That enemy is here to deceive you. And to do everything in its power to pull you from the kingdom of God. Amen. Welcome to the darkness. I want you to imagine this spirit is like my foot. Size 17. 18 in a tennis shoe. That's right. You have my permission to be impressed. And if the Lord ever puts it on your heart to buy Brother Bart a pair of shoes, they're not cheap. Just saying. Just saying, y'all. Cows don't grow on trees. But imagine my foot is the darkness, and what we have stepped into, the Lord showed me, is like the toe just beginning to touch the ground. But the heel, hear me, the heel will come down. And there's going to come a day where it's going to be hard to be a believer. There's going to come a day where it's going to be hard to live for God. And if you think it's easy to live for God right now, raise your hand if you think it's easy to live for God. Nobody raised their hand because there ain't no stupid folk in the house. At least not that stupid. And I will tell you this, it's going to be harder than it's ever be to walk with God, to pray. Some of you are going to lose jobs because of your faith. No, not in North Carolina. We in the Bible Belt. The belt is coming off. What you have always relied upon has been not necessarily God, but the culture that the forefathers paid the price before you. But unless you stand in the pea patch and protect what God gave you years ago, you will lose it. You will lose your freedoms. You will lose your victories. You will lose your ability to gather. There is coming a day. I was in New York only weeks ago, and I remember as I was preaching in New York, my friend John Early, who is on my ministry board, and he has two or three orphanages around the world. I remember what John Early told me. He said, one of our pastors who went into Canada to start a work has been arrested today. And I said, what? He said, they told them that they could no longer gather as a church, only do work online. But they could not come together anymore. And they refused to listen, and they gathered. And I don't know the man, but I know people who, many people who know this man. And they were the police were carrying him away. They literally drug him out. His whole church stood in front of him and the police. And the police bombarded through the people and took the pastor in Canada. And not only, he was the first, and then several other have been arrested since then in the last weeks, carrying him away. And he said these words. He says, America, wake up. You're next. Maybe I should have preached an expository sermon or a narrative sermon. Under her reign, now listen to me now, under the reign of Jezebel and her campaign, there came a time where there are only 7,000 people left in the entire northern kingdom of Israel who did not worship Baal, who did not bow their knee to Baal. These were God's people. And it wasn't that a neighboring kingdom came in and overtook a neighboring kingdom, or a neighboring prince or a neighboring spirit came in and infiltrated and sat on their throne. Amen. Moving on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Remember I said this. What this spirit cannot control, it will condemn. Remember I said this. What a religious spirit and what a Jezebel spirit cannot control, it will condemn. Because a religious spirit is a spirit of witchcraft. What this spirit cannot control, it will condemn. And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. 2 Kings 18 verse 4. 2 Kings 9 verse 7. And you shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, so that I may avenge on Jezebel the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord. I want you to understand, I'm here to warn you. You pray for this man. No. Because some of you say amen, but you don't do a thing about it. No, you listen to me. I don't care. You may not give to me. That's fine. I've come here as the servant of the Lord, and I will deliver the word. If you don't bless me, God will send ravens, and we'll get our house built. We got a $32,000 deficit, by the way. So praise the Lord. Let the Lord speak to you. But pray for this man, because if you don't, you must understand that the spirit of Jezebel that has been released in the earth is attacking the apostolic and the prophetic heads. See, you call him pastor. But this man has sent out pastors and has birthed churches in other places. That is an apostolic calling. This man, you call him pastor, but he is so much more than a pastor. He is an apostolic bishop, and he covers more churches than some of you have ever even walked into. So listen to me now. That spirit released into the earth will first attack him and his wife. And the second person that it will attack will be every man and woman of God that wears a crown. When I say wears a crown, I'm talking about the fivefold ascension gifts: the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Even if he did not wear the apostolic crown, which he does, this man and his family are being attacked. They have been attacked in the pandemic. See, you thought the pandemic was about COVID. No, honey. The pandemic ain't about COVID. I don't care if you got vaxxed or not. The pandemic isn't about COVID. The pandemic is about control. There is the spirit that has been released behind it. Don't tell me that it's just about the disease. No, you go with me to Romania, where the Orthodox paganistic church was allowed to gather by the hundreds, if not thousands, and during COVID, and drink the sacrament from the same cup as they passed it from person to person. But the pukaites that they call us, which is a derogatory term that make fun of us, they call us repenters in the Romanian language, we were not even allowed to gather except for illegally. That spirit is against the church. It is not what you think it is. It wants to destroy God's servants. I've been getting phone calls from apostles all across the world. across the world, mind you, and every single one of them, a spirit of infirmity has been released against them. I've been getting calls by prophets and prophetesses, every single one of them. And that's who I walk with. I don't walk with just nobody. I walk with people who can sharpen me. And I tell you right now, there has been a spirit of infirmity released against these people, whether it's released against their body, against their mind, or it tries to exhaust them to the place where they're like, I can't do this no more, stresses them out to the point where they want to quit. But every single one of them, this spirit is trying to cripple them, whether physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Pray for them. Did you hear me? Shake your head if you heard me. Yes. Say, yes, Brother Bott. Yes. Yes, I'll even say it like a North Carolina. Yes, Brother Bott. If you don't pray for them, because listen to me, it's come for them. It's come for me. It's come for those who wear the apostolic crown. But hear my words, it's coming for you next. It has already infiltrated. There's a lot of, it picked off the people who did not have a root within themselves. People been in the church for 20 years but had no root. People that we thought, I'm talking about people who were in ministry. And I'm telling you right now, over 8,000 pastors leave their churches every year. What do you think we're going to be in 10 years? 8,000 a month. Not I say a year, 8,000 a month leave their pastorate, leave their pulpit, never to return again. It's picking men and women off like you would not believe. It's coming for them. But if you don't pray for them, mark my words, one day it will come for you. And it will come knocking, and you will not know how to not answer that door. Because it's going to sound like Uncle Otis when he knocks. You're going to think it's okay, and that spirit will come in. It will subvert you, and it will knock your feet out from underneath you. Moving on. Somebody say amen. Amen. That spirit's purpose is to persecute the righteous and take their lands. Anybody in here ever dealt with demon possession? That's so kinds of fun. My wife and I cast the demons out of a boy. Well, really more my wife than me. For some reason, the devil's not intimidated with me. But he sure don't like my wife. My wife, well, we'd be going in the grocery store and people be demons be manifesting. I'm like, come on, seriously, can we get a break from this sort of thing? I remember one time we were in a grocery store. This was just up in New York City, and this has happened many times in grocery stores. This guy starts fidgeting. I mean, he's full of the devil. And he said he ran out of the grocery store around my wife. Couldn't be around my wife. That's how anointed my wife is. But you get me around him, he'll give me a high five and ask me if I want a beer. I don't understand what it is. I guess the devil thought we were friends. I did something wrong along the way. But that spirit and its purpose is Nabal the Jezreelite was a righteous man who had not bowed his knee to Baal. And Ahab wanted his vineyard. And Jezebel, listen to me, Jezebel wrongfully or wickedly took the vineyard but did it by legal means. Now hold on. See, a lot of people think she just had him killed. No, she went through the proper channels of the legal system of the Israelite government, had him accused with false accusation. He could not defend himself. They stoned him to death. And by all legal rights, according to the word, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But it was a lying spirit. And what she did was she infiltrated through the government. And she was able to persecute, kill, and take what was rightfully the churches, the man of God's. Now hold on now. There's one thing I know about demon spirits. Demon spirits aren't the ones that I worry about. That's not the ones I fight. The ones I fight are principalities. The ones I fight are ancient demons. The ones I fight are the ones that rule over cities and rule over nations and rule over territories, the arche. What the Bible calls them the arche in the Greek language, which means the source or origin of a thought. And they're called that because a principality is a demonic spirit that will control the principles you live your life by. What it does is it has a 100-year plan, a 200-year plan, a 500-year plan. And what it does is it interjects thoughts and ideologies into a nation so that when children grow up, over decades, over generations, people will begin to believe that sin is good and good is evil. That's how it destroys a nation. Go with me 60 or 70 years ago, would you have ever seen a homosexual on TV? Would you ever have seen a gay parade? And now they're on Hallmark. Now, hold up now. I'm not preaching against homosexuals. I'm not doing that. I want God to save them, but they need to know that they're living in sin, just like an adulterer is living in sin, and God needs to save them. They're unclean spirits. But get this. 60, 70 years ago, what happened? First of all, Satan made sure that on every sitcom in America that you turned on, every comedy that you watched had a gay person in it. And the gay person was the funniest person in that entire sitcom. Because if you'll laugh at it, you'll embrace it. He brainwashes. That's what he does, is he interjects thoughts and ideologies, and then he goes into legislation, and then he goes into government, and his sole purpose was to affect our children. Go into your schools and see what they want to teach your children. You better pray, saints. You better pray. Because whenever you give your kids to Caesar, don't complain when they act like Romans. You didn't hear what I just said. Some of that just went right over your head like a pork chop in a synagogue. This is a ruling spirit. There's demons, and demons possess people, but then there's ruling spirits. Those are the Bible calls the principalities, the powers, dominions, spiritual wickedness of places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are a different caliber. Those are not demons. Those are fallen angels. And they are loyal to Satan, and they have had a place of authority and power. Even Satan himself is called the prince of the power of the air, being the prince of principalities. And the principality's sole purpose is not only to destroy the principles you live your life by, but it is to destroy inevitably the entire nation. Naboth was killed, and his land was taken. Remember, I said this. Satan wants territory more than he wants a soul. Do you hear what I just said? I'm giving you gold here, right? Satan wants territory more than he wants a soul. Let me ask you a question. What would be more valuable? Me to have control over Zach, which I pretty much do. Me to have control over Zach, or me to have control over Bertie County? What would be more powerful? Me to have control over Pastor Wallace, or me to have control over northeastern North Carolina? What is more powerful? Satan isn't so much worried about one. He wants the territory and the land. And I was reading this, and the Lord says, Satan is coming for the land. He's coming for the territory. He's coming to remove the old landmark. Because the landmark is what marks the territory of one person's border. It marks the territory of what they own and what belongs to their family. And the Lord says in the scripture, you shall not remove the old landmark. And Satan wants to come in and remove the landmark of marriage. He wants to come in and remove the landmark for your children. Come in and remove the landmarks of sexuality. But what is right and what is wrong? And we look at the world today. They're just born that way. They have more rights than we do. That's what they tell us. You don't have more rights than me, and I don't have more rights than you. I'm the same citizen of the same kingdom that you are. And if you think you're better than me, honey, you need to come down from your high horse. You are high fluting, living high on the hog, but you listen to me. That enemy has come to remove the old landmarks, the things that we said America will always be this way. The landmarks have been removed. And they're not coming back. Your borders. A couple of years ago, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord says, I sent this to a prophet, and I said, the borders, the hedge of protection around America has been removed. The Lord has removed. There was a hedge of protection around America because of the church and what the church has done. But the church has become so worldly, I can't tell the difference between the world and the church. That ain't good preaching, is it? That don't make you happy, does it? Does that make you feel uncomfortable? Good! It's supposed to. God didn't call you to be comfortable. He called you to be faithful. Comfort will cripple you. I hope I make you feel uncomfortable. Maybe I should stay behind this pulpit so the only thing I can see is the light. I don't like it when people look at me like, I don't like that preacher. Well, congratulations, you don't have to live with me.
Can you imagine what she puts up with?
Moving on. This is a seducing spirit. This is a ruling, seducing spirit. To advance her, now get this, now according to the Mishnah Torah, to advance her aspirations through the occult arts, Jezebel installed immodest imagery in the royal carriage of her husband, King Ahab, to always keep iniquity before his eyes. Have you ever seen a people that have been bound by pornography before? Have you ever seen a nation where over 80% of the men in a nation, also close to 90% in America, are bound by pornography? And almost 50% of women. Oh, no. No, not women. They like Harlequin romance novels. That's their pornography. Yeah, I agree. That is pornography for women. But you hear me and you listen to me. That spirit has come in because we did not fight against it. Because we paid patty cake with the devil. That enemy has overtaken us. It has infiltrated us. And there's more pornography, or just as much pornography, in the church as there is in the world. And there is more of a higher rate of divorce in the church than there is in the world. In the church. Assemblies of God. How many of y'all are Assembly of God? Well, I guess you better be, because you're going to Assembly of God church. But I remember years ago, and I'm not putting down men or women, I'm not doing that, because I was bound by pornography for 15 years of my life, had it not been for this man helping me out. Give me high fives. That's right. Damn it. But I remember years ago when I was a teenager, I was like 19 years old, and I got to go with my pastor to the district council of the North Texas of the Assemblies of God, North Texas. Now, North Texas is the largest district of the Assemblies of God. The most churches exist, Assembly of God churches exist in the North Texas district. And I remember that they, when they stood behind the pulpit, they stood behind the pulpit, and they said, the readings are just in. They said that whenever we are having this conference where thousands of pastors are gathering and evangelists and all those who carry credentials with assemblies, when they're gathered here, the rate of rental of X-rated movies in the hotels goes up 90% during our gathering. I ain't judging no man of God. Because I've been a man of God, and I've been there bound by that spirit. But hear me, that enemy will put perversion before your eyes. I cannot even hardly turn on the television. I can't even hardly watch anything. That's my wife. We don't even hardly watch TV. Because like Job says, I will not look at a younger woman or look at another woman and lust after her in my heart. I will not put evil before my eyes. Because I had breaches in my walls that were bigger than that door. And there's TV shows I can't watch. There's so many things I cannot watch. There's magazines I don't ever even look at or pick up. Because that enemy is strategically designed to destroy you. I'm moving on. The time right now is 11:53 if you're taking medicine. First Kings 21, verse 25, there was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel his wife incited. Listen to me. You are going to see churches, and you have already seen them bow their knee to Baal. They will bow their knee to the Jezebel spirit. They will not only tolerate, allow homosexual and all the sorts of agendas, but now they embrace it, and more than embrace it, they protect it. There was a church in Bertie County that embraced homosexuality and had a homosexual flag out in the front years ago before I left. You think I'm kidding? Isn't it something how those floods came shortly thereafter? Oh, God don't move like that. You don't know my God. When Jehu rode in his chariot, now listen to me. You have to understand, this isn't my normal method of preach. So this isn't my flow, okay? So the Lord is stretching me to stand before you today and say this, okay? So if you don't like it, get in line, I don't like it either. Jehu assassinated Joram, the son of Jezebel, and then went to Jezreel after Jezebel. Listen to this. She tried to adorn herself and entice him. Well, the word entice means to sexually seduce this man. This man, woman was a grandmother. This woman was probably in her 60s, putting on her makeup. She was a beautiful woman. She looked good for her age. Come on, somebody. She'd taken care of herself. She had some treatments done. Come on, somebody. She had some treatments done. She'd been to the spa a couple times. She went to the doctor. I don't talk about the doctor that will nip and tuck. She looked good, and whenever Jehu rode up in his chariot, she painted her face to make her eyes look brighter, to seduce him. And she thought she was going to step into that spirit, and she was going to sexually entice him. And he looked up at the eunuchs, and he said, "Anybody who is for me, cast that woman down." And they threw her to the earth. But hear me, you are going to see many pastors, and you've already seen them, but the numbers are going to increase greatly, who will be seduced by this spirit. And they no longer will have the power of God in their churches. There will not be a movement of God anymore. The fire had gone out years ago, and now they have submitted or overcome, and they've allowed the world to creep into the church. And what they have become is Jezebel's eunuch. They have been seduced and enticed. The Bible says in the last days, there will be seducing spirits who will deceive even the elect. That's a great hat, by the way. If I look like you, I'd wear that. They would deceive even the elect. Hear me. I know men of God who are being deceived right now. You know, I don't say this very often, but my wife, maybe, do I have permission to talk about Adam or no? Sure. My wife and I, we knew a man who was a pastor who had left his wife on their daughter's birthday. Left the ministry, left his wife. Left his wife for a Santerian witch. And he was a pastor. My wife was there, cast the demon out of him because his eyes didn't close like this. They closed like this. Cast that demon out of him, and he went back because he didn't want to be free. I'm telling you today that this man is tired. You tired, Doc? Yeah, he's tired. I want to see a show of hands. How many of you in here really intercede for him? Show of hands right now. Don't raise your hand if you will lie, because God will judge you if you lie. Okay? That is nowhere near enough. That is nowhere near enough. God has not given you a pastor. God has given you an apostolic crown. Defend it. Protect it. I'm almost done. Somebody say amen. Don't you ever say amen when I say that. I have two more points to make. But one of the last things I will say is the rulers of the nations will be subdued by this. Every ruler and potentate of every nation is being subdued by this spirit. Every single one. In her hands, her husband became a mere puppet, and she wrote the warrant in Ahab's name and sealed it with his seal. You will see legislation come across the Oval Office that will target the church. You will see legislation in the House of Representatives and in the Senate that will come against the church and come against your freedoms, because that spirit has taken the signet ring and the authority to stamp the paper. And those who are in positions of offices are puppets. I'm not talking about just our nation. I'm talking about the world. They are puppets to this spirit. And you will see Christians persecuted around the world. I promise you. There will be legislation that will be put into place to persecute you. They say that there is. Some say that there is no law that is racist, or there's no law that's this. But there are coming laws that will be specifically targeted against you and your family, and against your ability and your right to believe God and gather to worship. Amen. I gotta say what I gotta say, because I'm leaving America. And I don't have peace until I got to get this out of my spirit. It's eating me alive as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I got to say what I got to say. when it targets the leaders, it will single them out and make them feel like nobody is for them and they're by themselves. Elijah said, even I alone am the last of the prophets that have not bowed the knee to Baal. He was not alone because the prophet Obadiah had hid him by 50s in caves and fed him bread and water. But that devil will make you think, even though you're a man of God, even though you hear from God, even though you can preach, you can shuck the corn, you can break the bread, it will make you feel alone. To nobody gets it. Nobody understands me. Nobody knows this fight. And there are a few who do. But you're not. Only a tenacious faith and unrelenting endurance will combat this. My strength is literally almost gone. Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal to prove who was a stronger deity. How many of you know the story of what happened? What fell from heaven, y'all? I said, what fell from heaven, y'all? There's three of you that know the word. The fire fell from heaven. It is not the spirit of Elijah that will conquer necessarily the Jezebel spirit. The spirit of Elijah is what we must walk in to contend with it. So there's a difference between a champion and a contender. There's a difference between a person who can knock down and walk in victory, and then there is still an anointing for the contender. Because the contender is the one who shows up for the fight. And some of y'all hadn't showed up for the fight in years. And the Lord is calling you to the fight. The Lord is calling you to prayer. But the spirit of Elijah isn't what removed the Jezebel from the land. That didn't come until Elisha. That didn't come until a double portion upon the children, upon the next generation. You want to see the church advance? Save those kids. If you want to see the church advance, show the next generation the power of God. Because if you don't show them the power of God, they're never coming to God. They don't need you to preach to them and get up in their face. Take that ring out your nose and you dye your hair all kinds of purple looking like Barney, and I got a tattoo on your neck. Look at you thinking you a rock star playing your banjo. You know, you don't need you to preach to them. Show them how to raise the dead. Show them how to cast out demons. Show them how to heal the sick. And I promise you, they will come to God because they're looking for something real. Real. And the church has sat down on its blessed assurance and has done nothing. We stopped praying like we supposed to. And we let our 5 or 6 intercessors do all the work while we're sitting back and saying, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Come on. Don't make me tear that song up. Don't make me wreck it. Because I will wreck that song right into Plymouth Rock. Listen to me, y'all. Listen to me. It is that next generation that will save our nation. And if you don't reach them, our nation is lost. You hear me? Your nation is lost. Instead of sitting there judging them, ain't nothing wrong with these kids or something wrong with them, you're the one that raised them. Body language. Those people who complain the most are the ones who pray the least. We got people, our kids, they ain't got no respect, they ain't got no work ethic, but no one loved them. Where was their daddy growing up? And the daddy was gone. Where were you, uncle? Where were you, grandpappy? What were you doing? Why didn't you make the investment to reach them? Because if you don't reach them, you lose your nation. You lose your tomorrow. Because that enemy has targeted them and wants them more than anything else. He wants your kids and your grandbabies. He wants to raise them up into perversion so they don't know what's right and wrong and wrong and right. What I do. Do double. Look at your neighbor and say, do double. I'm almost done. I know, because some of y'all look like you're itching in the backside. Jesus, give them talcum powder, Lord. Give them something, Jesus. They're uncomfortable sitting in their seats, Jesus. You got to stand up and shout. Stand up and shout. If you lost feeling in it, stand up and slap it. Whatever you got to do, just make it feel something and get with the program, y'all. Somebody say double down. Now, you didn't hear what I just said. Some of y'all, I don't want 30% audience participation. Okay, this is supposed to be the Deep South. Y'all are supposed to be amening type of people. If I wanted a church to be like, I'd go to New York. I said, say double down. It's a little bit better. B minus. B minus. You pass. You pass. But that's not about all you got. There is an angel in the book of Revelation. Its sole purpose is to go throughout the heavenlies. Now remember, I said this. If you don't remember everything I said today, remember this. There is a nation, there is an angel that his sole purpose is to go throughout the heavenlies and make a declaration, okay? You follow me on this? Angel, heavenlies, declaration. It is a very high-ranking spirit because it's in the heavenlies. And it is an angel of the Lord, is not a principality. It is of the highest order of the hierarchy of God's angels. It's cherubim, seraphim, but it is a high order of angels. And it's going throughout the heavens in the book of Revelation. And it's making a decree. Would you like to know what this angel said? Look at your neighbor and say, double down. I said, look at your neighbor and say, double down. That's more like it. Some of y'all are like, whatever he said. Yeah. Appreciate your cooperation so much. In the book of Revelation 18, it references a scripture. And I'm going to read from a very little known version of the Bible, from the Douay Rheims version. I believe that's the one this is called, but I want you to listen to this. Then I heard another voice from heaven crying, come out from her, O my people, lest you become accomplices in her sins and must share in her punishment. For her sins have mounted up to the sky, and God has remembered the tale of her wickedness. Pay her back in her own coin. Yes, pay her back double for all she has done. In the cup which she mixed for others, mix her a drink of double strength. For the pride in which she flaunted herself, give her torture and misery. Because she says to herself, here I sit, a queen on a throne. I am no woman who lacks a man, and I shall never know sorrow. So in a single day her punishments shall strike her, death, sorrow, and famine, and she shall be burned in the fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. How do you defeat the spirit of Jezebel in the earth? You double down. What does that mean, Brother Bart? There was a woman in a church one time, and the Lord told her to give $500. Now, that's a lot of money to most people, right? $500. Lord told her to give $500, and so she began to take out her checkbook, and she began to write the five, the zero. And as soon as she got to that second zero, Satan told her, if you give that, you know how Satan is. He always come against your mind. You know what I'm talking about. He come against your mind, try to play his narrative in your mind, like you ain't going to have enough money to feed your kids, and the collard greens aren't going to be, you ain't going to have enough money for all the stuff that you need, the pigs going to be sold out, you ain't going to have enough money, all that kind of stuff. And she stopped and she said, okay, Satan, I'll give double. That's the last time Satan ever tried to convince her not to give to God. Every time I've gone on a mission and returned, I want you to remember this. Every time I've gone on a mission and never returned, there has always been a counterattack from the enemy that has attacked my family every single time. And it always hits me in a very extreme personal way. It is a below-the-belt attack from that principality that I've gone against. And basically, I call it the tail of the scorpion. It's a retribution. It's the enemy saying, don't you ever, like Zach, don't you ever come in my territory again. And it hurts, brother. It hurts. How do I overcome it? I do double. If you pray, do double. If you're a giver, do double. If you witness, one thing I know is if the enemy comes against my family after God has given me a harvest of souls, the enemy comes against my family and then tries to just knock down, drag out, I'm going to go out in the streets. I'm going to start preaching the gospel. I'm going to pray for somebody on the street. See God heal somebody. I'm going to show that devil I ain't backing down. I apologize. I promised my wife I wouldn't scream. I'm not backing down. A double portion. Mix him a drink of double strength and give it back to him in the same cup he gave it to you. I like it. Pay him back in his own coin. So what I've come to tell you today, saints, is this. If you don't double down, that enemy is going to double up on you. Fight. Pray like you've never prayed. I told you before, I'll tell you again. There is coming a day where you cannot afford to pray. Honey, you are in a day where you cannot afford to pray. The last time I was here, I saw faces I don't see today. And I promise you, they're not in Hertford County going to a different church. Did you hear what I just said? Let any man who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. I have come today to warn America. Behind the carpenter shop pulpit, I stand before the nations. And I know there are people in Africa who have watched this pulpit. I know there are many. And I stand at a national platform. And I stand as the prophet of God. And I've come to tell you today, this spirit has come. It's come against your nation. Not just yours, but every nation. But this is how it's going to affect you. You will see greater perversions. And the one thing that I did not say that I just want to add in is that 850 prophets ate at the table of Jezebel every day. You are going to see legislation, and it already has been put into place, that will support wickedness. And you will see non-prophet statuses being revoked from the church. Hear me. I prophesied. You are going to see the enemy take away the nonprofit status of the church. He's going to make it hard. He's going to try to keep people from giving because there'll be no more tax exemption from the gifts that you give. Hear the word of the Lord. It's coming. I promise you it's coming. And you are going to see those tax dollars used for abortion. You're going to see those tax dollars used to forward the homosexual agenda. And you will see such sexual perversions that will not only be accepted but protected by the U.S. government. Even now they're saying that pedophilia is a sexual orientation. You don't understand. It will protect wickedness and it will come against your finances. It will come against your ability to be independent. There's coming a day where it's not going to be easy. Double down, double down, double down, double down, double down. Everybody smile at me now. Smile, everybody. Show me where your teeth used to be. Pull down your mask. Let me see your pretty faces. I promise you. Is this an easy message to hear? No. But thank God you didn't have to give it. Do you realize how hard it was for me to preach this? This is by far one of the hardest messages I've ever preached in my life. And you could probably tell by the way I delivered it. But I've come to let you know, God loves his church. He loves his people. And Satan hates you. Fight. Fight. That's why I never understood it before. And he said, having done all to stand, that means after you've been through a hell of a fight, I mean, you fought hell, high water, everything else, you've been through a fight, after you've done everything you could do to stand, you were exhausted. Stand again and prepare for another fight. I promise you, the strength will be there when you need to throw the blow. I promise you, the strength will be there when you feel like you can't even raise your sword anymore. God will give you the greatest miracles when your strength is gone. In my weakness, he is made strong. You know, all my life, I'm done. I'm done, y'all. I'm done. Don't leave or anything, but I'm almost done. All my life, when I was growing up in the Assembly of God Church,
We grew up holiness, right? We had the burnt orange carpet. I mean, we were holy. All the women was ugly, everything. We had the whole nine yards, mule face, everything. We was holy. We was everything, hair high, beehive, hair up in the bun. We would shout it down. Sister Crandall would say, "It's holiness or hell, son." We knew how to pray back then. We knew how to touch God back then. I mean, I grew up in that. I grew up in that cultural atmosphere, and I had that identity. But I've come to tell you today, those days are gone. Those days are gone. But those days must be rebirthed. You must pray again. You must pray again. What did I say to you? The tip of the toe was in the earth. I'm going to relinquish this to the man of God in just a moment. Not that I'm not a man of God, but the other man of God that's going to come up here, the head of the house here. Can I pray for y'all? I'm going to ask an honest question. How many of you feel the pressure? How many of you feel the discomfort? How many of you feel the darkness that's come against us? How many of you feel that? Raise your hand if you feel the darkness. Raise your hand if the enemy has attacked your family. Raise your hand if the enemy has attacked your finances. Raise your hand if the enemy has attacked your strength, your physical body, like you got infirmity, like something you're going through, something you don't even know why you're going through something. You're going through something. Raise your hand up right now. How many of you understand that we are going to double down and we're going to fight the devil? How many of you understand that? Okay? Now, I ain't going to leave you today without praying with you. So if you're going through a something, you may get a prophetic word. You may not. But I prophesied to you today. I told you what is coming. I told you how to defeat it. I put the bullet in your gun. Now, what you do with it is up to you. But if you sit down on your blessed assurance and say, you know what? It ain't my problem. I promise you, it will be your problem. It will be your problem. I want to relinquish. I'm going to relinquish this to Pastor Wallace. And after he has a moment, he says something, he's going to speak to you for a moment. Then I'm going to ask for those who want prayer. And we're going to come up. I'm going to pray simple prayer. I'm going to pray a corporate prayer. And then if I feel led of the Lord, I'll begin to pray over people individually. But I will pray a corporate prayer over those of you who say, I need a touch from God this morning. I don't know exactly what I need, but I know I need God. Pastor Wallace, I'll relinquish this to you.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I asked Bart to let me have this pulpit back now because I want to be a blessing to him, and I know that he's prepared to minister to you. I want to ask you how old you are. How old are you? 42. 25 years I've known you. Well, you were 17 years old when you preached for me the first time. 17. It's been a long time. And I love the gift of God in you. Not everybody can do what you're called to do. And I know that when you do what you're called to do, I know that's a heavy thing. And I appreciate you. I love the gift of God in you. You're a preacher, man. You're a preacher. You enjoy the Word of God. This is not His normal. He can preach a narrative sermon like nobody I know. Yeah, that's true. A narrative sermon. He can tell you, he can take a man like anybody in the Bible, you know, Bartimaeus. He can preach a man's story and his lifestyle and all the way through and just put you on the edge of the seat. But he didn't do that today. He brought you the Word of God. Amen. To the people of God. Amen. And I appreciate you, Bart. And I want to give you an opportunity right now. And I don't need the music or anything. Just, if you're writing a check, just write it to CSIC. I want you to give a sacrificial gift. You don't want to live where he lives. You don't. You don't want to do what he's doing. You don't. But I want to be a part of that church. Did you hear what he said? That free church. You know? Because if you were disqualified because of the reasons that they disqualify people and you wanted to go to church, none of you would be welcome. So we've had discussions about even what Pentecost is in Romania where you live, and it's horrible, it's ugly, it's rude, it's mean. So nobody would be welcome. Because many of you have been married before. Many of you have had children out of wedlock. Some of you are living together. You wouldn't be welcome there. You wouldn't be welcome. You could try, but they wouldn't let you in because you got scars. And so they're going to establish a church, a free church. That means there's freedom there. And I just want to give sacrificially. Let's help them build that church. What does it cost to build a church in Romania?
The building that we're needing, we have the building, but we need $32,000.
Okay. That's not a lot of money. Our friends, this coming week, our friends that we support in ministry, I had a chance to make a phone call and get Kevin and Mariah Thompson. How many of y'all remember Kevin and Mariah? You support them from this church. You support them every month. Kevin and Mariah, I was told that if I could make a telephone call and get special permission for Kevin and Mariah to leave and take a four-hour journey, they could meet up with Pastor Mike Blow and the team there in Abidjan. And I said, Lord, I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but I made one telephone call, and the Assemblies of God released Kevin and Mariah to travel 4 hours south and meet Pastor Mike Blow and the team there. And they said, you got to secure them a place to stay, the hotel bill, one night, one hotel room, $800 one night. Okay. So I said, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll pay for their hotel and we'll pay for their transportation. You don't even want to hear what the ride for 4 hours down the roads of Abidjan were. But I said, we'll do it. Why? Because we love those missionaries and we want them to be able to meet up with Pastor Mike and that team and breathe a breath of fresh air from all of the stuff they have to war every day. And so just a couple of days journey and a hotel room, it'll be several thousand dollars. But it's worth it because we don't live where you do. And we don't live where Kevin and Mariah do. $32,000, we could build a church. Okay? So I want you to write a check. I want you to double down. Okay? Lord, I'm asking you right now, just speak to your people on what you would have them to do. And to write a check today and just put Romania Church. And Lord, help us to be a great part of what you want to accomplish in another part of the earth. Help us to double down right now in Jesus' name and build a church. Let's do it. Let's build a church. Let's just give what we can. Some of you say, well, you know, I've already got my Christmas budget. And I was just change it. Change the budget and give and just come right now. No music, no anything. Just come drop your funds in. And let's just give to the Lord today. If you want to give on the app, just put guest, okay? If you want to give on the app, just use guest. Pastor Noli will take care of it. And let's just help build the church. Bart didn't ask for this. I just said, hey, I told him before the service, I said, I don't know what you're doing today, but before you pray for anybody, give me the service back. And let's build a church. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just built a little carpenter shop in Romania and we just gave the whole $32,000? Wouldn't that be nice? Would you name it Carpenters over there? Would you do that? Okay. Let's just build carpenter shop in Romania, $32,000. That's not a lot of money. Some of you can write a check for $100. Some of you can write a check for $1,000. Some of you can write a check for more than that. But if everybody helps, it's just, listen, many hands will take care of it. And where what we're doing right now, where Kevin and Mariah are, we can build an entire church start to finish for $16,000, half. Start to finish. Zach, they want you over there to weld that thing together for them. Yes. They do. They just want you to go over there and weld it together for them because it's all steel. And I know you've thought about that and prayed about that, but man, if you would do that, if you would just do that, there's no telling what God would do. Any other welders in the house? You know how to weld? Listen, just need somebody to go with Zach just to weld that building together. You're the welder. Just weld that building together. $32,000, not a lot of money. Carpenter Shop International Church, Romania. Wow. That's got a ring to it, don't it? Carpenter Shop International Church, Romania. And guess what? 182 nations of the earth
heard your word this morning. Come on. You know why? Because these people pay every week for our messages to be translated to King Television in Pakistan. Last week alone, 186 healings took place in people's bodies from our broadcast. Reported testimonies. Amen? What an incredible thing. So we thank you. Those of you that are watching online, thank you so much for being a part of what we're doing here from this little village, this little hamlet in northeastern North Carolina, where nobody said nothing good could ever come from there. And we don't even ask you for it anymore. We're building up extra resources for missions because you keep giving to foreign missions out of this church. So are you all done? Are you all through, the auctioneer said? Just give what you can give today. If you're right, if you're using the app, just use guest missionary. We'll get it. We'll get the word today on how much came in. And Lord, I thank you for the gift. And I thank you for the givers. I thank you, God, that even in the midst of challenging times, that you have indeed a people who are doubling down. Thank you for Bart and for Sherry, for Ella. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection, a cocoon in the spirit around their lives. Watch over them, Lord, in every way. Keep them safe from harm. Keep them out of the devil's crosshairs, I pray, in Jesus' name, that you would watch over them. Thank you that 25 years ago, I met a thin little guy named Bart. And Lord, I give you thanks today that you order our steps and that you allowed this young man from Texas to come here for the first time. I just give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's have some worship up here, if you guys don't mind. Just give us the atmosphere to pray and believe God. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for helping us to build that church. Let's just do that. You sure can't build one in America for $32,000. Amen? Amen? Can't do it. But I'd love to build a church in Romania. Wouldn't that be a joyful thing? Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not going to formally dismiss the service, so if you need to go, you're free to go. But if you need prayer, just stick around, okay? We're just going to pray for people. And Brother Bart's coming back to collectively pray for this house and then pray for those who need prayer today. You need some help? You need somebody to help you, assist you? Praise. You've got a minister of the gospel right here who loves to serve. Amen. He'll be willing to help you.
Babe, if you would come. Please. Brother, those of you who are set aside to be ministers in the house, if you would help me pray. Now when I pray this, you will have an understanding of what I mean when I say the things I say. Okay? After I'm done praying, if you want to come forward for personal prayer, I didn't say personal words, but personal prayer, where we lay hands on you, because I can't ever guarantee that God will speak to everybody in a prophetic word. But I want you to raise up your right hand if you believe in worshiping God. Raise up your right hand. I want you to keep that right hand raised. Now, with that right hand raised, if you believe in worshiping God out loud, raise your left hand. Now worship God out loud. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord God. Say his name. For there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the power of the name. I thank you, Lord God, that you have already overcome what comes against us. I thank you, Lord God, that you are already victor. Lord God, we place ourselves in Jesus Christ, who is the victor. And I thank you, Lord, that we abide in the vine. And as we abide in the vine and we have the nutrients from heaven, Lord God, we enforce your victory, your authority, your wonders. Lord, your miracles, your signs, your wonders, we enforce it on their life. Lord, I enforce victory. I enforce healing. I enforce restitution. Lord God, I come against division, strife, and contention. Every bit of divorce, everything that separates families. Lord God, I come against guilt. I come against condemnation. I come against the enemy that will try to tell them that they're nothing. Lord, I subvert every lie of the devil and every undeserving work that would try to subvert itself above or overcome the work of Jesus. And Lord God, I proclaim the name, invoking the name above every other name. Lord God, I speak the name. I speak the name. All the forces of heaven, for you are the Lord of the host of angel armies. And I thank you, Lord, as we decree a thing, Lord God, it is released. I come into agreement. I link arms with every man of God, every woman of God, every child of God. And Lord God, we come against the ruler of the darkness. We come against, Lord, the spirit of Jezebel that has been released into the earth against our families, against our church, against our legislation, against our nation, Lord, against our businesses, against our homes, against our finances. Lord, we bind it according to your word, and we disallow that spirit to advance. And Lord God, I speak victory over your people. I speak victory over their lives, over their families. Lord God, I speak victory, Lord God, over everything that they touch, for everything that they set their hand to do. I speak victory in the name above every other name. I speak victory over sciatic nerves and back problems that go down, that have problems in the legs. I speak victory over that right now. Stand up if you've got, sometimes you got pain go down your leg and you got numb feet. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I decree that that thing that has been disaligned in your back would come back into alignment. I decree the sciatic nerve to be released and the pain go now in Jesus' name. Lord, I come against sugar problems, insulin problems, diabetes. Lord, I come against blood issues. I come against blood pressure. I come against toxicity of the blood. I come against generational curses that come through bloodlines. In the name of Jesus, I cancel that assignment. It doesn't matter if it was on mama and grandma. I cancel the assignment of the enemy against your life. I come against acid reflux in the stomach that brings it up. Ulceric conditions in the stomach. I command that ulcer to vaporize in your body and new flesh to cover that ulcer whole. Line up with God's word and be sealed. Come against heart failure and heart problems. I come against heart disease. I come against fluid. I come against arrhythmia. And I come against irregular heartbeats. I come against death in the heart. There's somebody here that half their heart is not operating the way that it should. In the name of Jesus, I command your heart to beat fully and functionally. I command the chamber. I command the ventricles. I command the arteries around the heart to come into alignment with God's word. I command the hardness of arteries to be softened. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command triglycerides come down. I command cholesterol come down. I command the plaque that is sealing up arteries, release the blood flow right now in the name of Jesus. I decree strokes are nullified. I decree the plan of the enemy to cripple God's people is nullified in Jesus' name. I come against the curse that was spoken by witchcraft against God's people. I come against evil words spoken. There are people in this room that your lives are shattered and you cannot seem to overcome. You cannot get out of depression. You're dealing with anxiety. Lord, I cancel the assignment of that devil, and I bind the mouth, hands, and the feet of that demon's witch that spoke against you. I come against curses of family. I come against curses of friendships and relationships that are spoken, and the enemy has taken authority through that. I nullify, revoke, and rebuke it by the blood of the Lamb. I command neuropathy. Neuropathy, you let go of their feet right now. You have no authority over their feet in the name of Jesus. I decree the cellular activity of the body, Lord God, to assimilate the blood the way it's supposed to. Cells of the body absorb the sugar and secrete what is needed in the name of Jesus. And the years that they abuse their body, I command it to be reversed right now. Years of smoking and abuse of the body, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every cancerous cell that has withdrawn or come into their lungs. In the name of Jesus, I speak life. I take over. I take authority over melanomas. I take authority, Lord God, over skin issues in Jesus' name. I take authority over the enemy that comes against our leader. Lord, I come against what comes against his family. Lord God, I decree in the name of Jesus that every assignment, every work that was meant for his evil, Lord, you turn it around for his good. That 1,000 will fall at his side and 10,000 at his right hand, but the battle will not come nearer to him. Lord, I come against every spirit of infirmity released against his headship to try to remove the apostolic crown. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You will not touch the flesh of the servant of the living God. In the name of Jesus, I command every aspect of your body to come into alignment with God's word. And all those little foxes, the Lord says, the little foxes that spoil the vine, I cancel them by the authority of Jesus' name. And I command life into your body. I command that which has brought difficulty, that which has brought inconvenience, that which has robbed you of rest, that which has robbed you of sleep, I command it to go right now in the Jesus' name. I command life all the way down, all the way down, all the way down. I command life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you restore to the uttermost him who called upon your name as a young man, him who you delivered from addiction, him who you delivered from the wayward life. Lord, I thank you. Lord God, the Lord says, I set you up when you were young. The Lord says, I called you at a young age, even though you did not hear me in the beginning. The Lord says, I did not give up. I would not relent. I would not back down until I had you. And then when I had you, the Lord said, the map that I drew for your life and the things that I ordained before the foundations of the world, the enemy tried to come in to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Lord says, I have preserved and will preserve. The Lord says, I have fought for you and will fight for you. The Lord says, I'm going to go before you and I'm going to make some crooked places straight for you. The Lord says, I'm going to iron out some wrinkles that you don't got to iron out. And the Lord says, I'm going to let your spirit rest. And the Lord says, you're going to be driving down the road, but you're going to be resting. The Lord says, you're going to be in the midst of ministering, but you're going to be resting. The Lord says, you're going to be under attack, but you're going to be resting. And the enemy, the Lord says, is going to be very, very discouraged. And he is going to be very, very distraught because he's going to come against you, but yet it ain't going to bother you. It ain't going to mess you up. It ain't going to remove you from the seat of authority that God has given you. And the Lord says, I'm promoting you to a place where in the spirit, the Lord says, you will rest in warfare. You will rest in victory. You will rest under attack. The Lord says, you're going to get up in the morning. And the Lord says, your mind, you already know what you have to accomplish in the day. But the Lord says, I will accompany your list with rest. Yes, Lord, I'll tell him. And the Lord says, more miracles are about to transpire in your ministry. And the Lord says, I'm not just giving you miracles on foreign soil. The Lord says, that's not going to be where the miracles will increase. The Lord said the miracles will increase in your territory. The Lord says the miracles will increase on your land with your verbiage in your tongue. The Lord says, I'm going to give more miracles to you and miracles that you've wanted to see. The Lord says, you have stepped into a place where I am going to show forth myself mighty to those who do not believe on my name. And the Lord says, more will come to God through the miracles, even the more than the preaching. The Lord says, more will come to know the goodness of the Lord, because the Lord, I see you. Lift your hands out, Doc. Put your hands out just like you were touching a wall. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I release it, Lord, upon his life. Lord, in the name, okay, Lord, I'll tell her. Pastor Joy, that the preach is going to be greater on you than it's ever been. But not just the preach in revelation. The gift of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him is coming upon your life. You're going to begin to see things. As a matter of fact, God is going to give you revelations, and you're going to tell your husband. Then he's going to be like, my word, that's powerful. And there's going to be times where you don't even tell him, and you're going to get up behind that pulpit, and he's going to glean from the ministry of the word that God is going to give you. God says, right now, I give you the authority to see behind the pages. The Lord says, I'm going to give you the authority to see what others don't see. The Lord says, I am going to give you narratives. The Lord says, I'm going to give you histories. The Lord says, I'm going to give you a different way of thinking. The Lord says, you're going to come at it from a different angle. You're going to see things you never saw. And the Lord says, there are going to be greater breakthroughs through the revelation that God gives you. People are going to be set free sitting in the seats. People are going to be healed sitting in the seats. Because the Lord says that the venues that God will put you before, there ain't no way you can lay hands on everybody. Ain't no way you could pray for everybody. And so the Lord is going to give you miracles without you even touching nobody. You're going to be up there, and all of a sudden a healing anointing is going to flow from the back left hand side of the room, and then from the back right, and then from the center, and then there's going to be healing streams flow from behind you, and God's going to begin to start healing people, and your ministry aspect is going to change, and God is going to give you greater authority over this. Yes, sir, I'll tell her. Honey, will you lay your hands on her and impart on her discernment of demonic spirits? Will you do that for me? Because the Lord is going to give her discernment of demonic spirits. What's on your life is going to come on her. She is going to go to a place, and she's going to be more of a helpmate to the man of God than she's ever been. She's going to be a barometer of the Spirit, and things that he did not feel or see before, God's going to show her. And she is going to project him higher. She's going to push him higher. He's going to bring her higher. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for removing the blinders from the eyes and letting her see beyond flesh, letting her see beyond just a feeling of suspicion. But Lord, let her see what is in the spirit realm. And I thank you, O Lord God, that demons and strongholds will not stand against her. Strongholds are going to fall. And I'm not talking about strongholds just over people, Pastor Joy. There's going to be strongholds over regions that are going to fall because of you. Because there is a prophetic utterance that's upon you, but this will manifest in prayer more than anything. And God's taking you, and you really do pray. And when you pray, God really does hear you. But God's about to take you to a place of prayer that you ain't never been before. And you're going to begin to pray. And you've done this, but you're going to do it greater than you've ever done. You're going to begin to declare utterances in the Spirit, and you are literally going to tear down strongholds. And even though you're not preaching, even before your husband ever gets there, even before anything ever happens, or a man of God stands behind a pulpit, victories will already be won, because you will have shifted atmospheres. You will have dethroned principalities and ruling spirits, because God is putting you in a place of authority, and the enemy knows who you are. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I will, Lord, I promise. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I speak a divine hedge of protection, that the three warring angels of the Lord would stand at your right and your left and behind you. And I decree that no enemy shall befall you, no plague come near your dwelling. I come against the assignment of the enemy against your body, the assignment of the enemy against your mind and your hormones. I come against the assignment of the enemy against your hormones. Be it ain't your age like you might think. It's an attack of the enemy that's going to try to come against your hormones. I speak over your hormones to come into alignment with the word of God and be healed. The enemy will not subvert. He will not subvert what the Lord wants to do. In the name of Jesus, you are protected. There are three angels that stay with you. They are in your home. They are always in your house, walking with you. They go in the car with you. Everywhere you go, they go with you. The Lord says, you need not fear man. You need not fear anyone. For the Lord says, greater is he that is for you than he that is in the world. As I told my servant through Elisha, look with your eyes unto the hills and see. As I told through my servant David, lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. There shall be nothing stand against your anointing, for you are a breaker, says the Lord. And I will use you to break heavy burdens, impossible burdens, burdens that other people say could not be moved, could not be shattered. The Lord said, you will shatter, move, and destroy the burden. Put your hand on her stomach, babe. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command the blessing over her body. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I don't know why I just felt like I'm supposed to put hands on you there.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command life into her digestive system. I command life into her urinary tract. I command life into her body right now, and I command every assignment of the enemy and everything that has gone wrong to try to slow her, to keep her from enjoying this time in her life, and trying to inhibit her ministry and slow her down. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak life. Lord God, I command the bladder to come into alignment with the word of God. Bladder, come on back up. Come on back up where you belong. Lord, give her a pin. Pin that bladder up, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that her nights will be restful in Jesus' name. That she will not constantly be up having to take care of this, going to the bathroom, doing that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I decree rest over her spirit. But not just rest, sleep. I decree sleep in the name of Jesus. I don't care what a doctor says. I don't care what somebody would say, that's the time of life. No. I decree life in Jesus' name. Lord, give her the bladder of a 20-year-old in the name of Jesus. I decree it over her. I'm not going to touch you, but I'm just going to release it in that area where my wife touched you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that some of the other things, Lord God, yeah, that's what it was. Lord, and the other, Lord, but where's my wife? Let me see, doc, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Lord, in the go low on her, go lower. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I command everything that is not just quite right, Lord, to come into alignment with the word of God, Lord, that would affect hormone. In Jesus' name, I decree life into that part of her body. Lord God, she has been faithful in little, and she shall be ruler over much. Lord, the enemy will not keep her from enjoying the blessing when it comes. In the name of Jesus, I decree it over her life. Thank you, my love. I don't know you, North Carolina hoodie-wearing man who stood behind the platform. I don't know you. But I know the Lord is calling you to a place of intercession. The Lord is calling you to a warring place. There is a warring spirit within you, and God is going to teach you how to use it. God is going to teach you how to navigate the spirit realm. God is going to teach you how to uproot, destroy. God is going to teach you how to subvert subversive works. God is going to allow attacks to come against you. Now listen to me, don't be discouraged. This is not a bad word. God is going to allow attacks to come against you, but understand this, pay attention. Because the Lord allows the attack to teach you the tactics of the enemy. And the Lord has pushed the fast forward button on your life. Do you understand me? Because you missed a lot of years of the Lord using you. And now the Lord's going to catch you up, okay? And not only is the Lord going to catch you up, he'll catch your wife up. Now she's been a prayer warrior. She's touched heaven. And the Lord has heard her. And the Lord is bringing you up to the level of the Spirit where God has called you both to be. Because God puts you both here. You were summoned to be here to make war for the kingdom of light. You were summoned, as a matter of fact, you were summoned to pray for him. And you were summoned to lift up his arms, especially when he's not here. You are one of the main people that God wants to raise up to intercede for him. You better do what you're called to do. But understand this, attacks are coming, at least three. And they're going to come subsequently, and they're going to come quickly. It's just understand this word came before. Do not be discouraged. And know that it's smoke and mirrors, so that you will go through this. As sure enough as you come to it, you'll come through it. Do you understand the word of the Lord? And the Lord says, don't worry about your body, okay? Don't worry about your body. You'll remember this whenever the attacks come. Don't worry about your body, okay? God's got you. God's going to bring you through. But I'm going to speak over your heart. I'm going to speak over your blood. I'm going to speak over your arteries. And I command life into your body. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, and in that area, too, in that area, Lord God, I decree life. Lord, you see what I see, and I speak life into it in the name of Jesus. There's just some things you don't say, but the Lord is for you, and know that God's got this. Sir, I don't know you, but the Lord loves you very much, and the Lord is for you. And there are times where you wonder where God's at, and there's times where you wonder if he was for you, and there's times you've just been through some stuff, bro. You've just been through some stuff. But the Lord wants you to know he's never one day been against you. He's never one day turned his back like you've ever been hard to find, like you've ever been out of his mind. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. There hasn't always been faithfulness found in you. And then sometimes you had one foot over here and you had one foot over there. And you said amen with this foot and you did a little something with this foot. But the Lord wants you to know that you need to set that aside today. You need to let all those things go that held you back, because I see what looks like grappling hooks in you and the enemy's trying to pull you back. Sir, you forgive who you need to forgive. You need to forgive some people and you need to let it go. And you need to come to the place of peace in God. Because you come over here, but you ain't got no peace. You'll come to church, but you ain't got no peace. And the Lord wants you to have peace. And the Lord wants you to know that you are precious to Him. And the Lord said if He had to die all over just for you, He would die for you. And the Lord says that He would never walk away. And He said, I'll never turn my heart away. The Lord knows how you grew up. And the Lord knows that you was tough. And the Lord knows you had to be. And you always feel like you had to prove something. The Lord says, you don't have to prove nothing to me. The Lord says, you don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be strong enough. You don't have to be perfect enough. The Lord says, all you've got to do is be willing to lay down the things that torment you. Because there's a lot of things that battle against your mind. There's a lot of things that steal your peace. You are too important to God. And the devil knows who you are, sir. And that's why it's a miracle that you are alive. You should have died more times than five. There's many times that you should have died, but the Lord stood in your doorway. Several different times the Lord preserved you, and the Lord has called you. Sir, you better be a wall without breaches. You had better relinquish the things that hold on to you, because it's not necessarily that the devil has a right. Though he thought he did. If you relinquish it, the devil loses his right. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord says He ain't mad at you. The Lord says He gonna push you away. The Lord says He ain't turning His back on you. There is no anger in God towards you. The Lord is angry at what has come against you your whole life. And what you don't understand and how the devil deceived you is that you thought it was other things. You thought it was God. You thought it was man. You thought it was you. But all along, it was an unclean spirit that was assigned against your life ever since you was little. It came on you before you knew your right from your left. And it has brought so much catastrophe to your life and has hardened you and has caused you to think, God, where are you at? And there are times where you even wondered if God was real. But He is real and He is for you and He's fought for you. And that's why you're here. Relinquish it all. Relinquish. You're too important, brother. And I don't say brother because we're the same skin. I say brother because you're part of this kingdom. And we've been adopted into the same family. And that's far more. Blood of Christ runs thicker than the water of the womb. I release it. Woman of God, I speak over you healing right now. You with the pretty hair and the gray, I speak healing over your body right now. I come against the enemy that comes against you. I come against every work of darkness. Babe, will you go put your hand on her body? Right, pretty lady here in the gray. The pretty one. Babe, I want you to pray for her. I want you to cancel the assignment of generational curses on her. On her physical body. And there's some things that happen in her progeny. In her children. I'll let you do it. I know the Lord Jesus provide. I'll shut my mouth. If the Lord wanted me to go over there, He would have had me over there. Lady, I don't know you. Lady right there with that mauve color shirt. You hear me? You see me with the highlights in your hair. You are greatly loved of the Lord. Honey, you are greatly loved of the Lord. God's calling you deeper, okay? He's calling you deeper. There's some things you need to let go of, and God's calling you deeper. Okay, God ain't mad at you. God ain't judging you. God come here to invoke you to come to Him. And the things that are a trouble to you, or the things that cause you to stumble, or those things that hold you back, I need you to give them to Jesus, okay? I need you to give that to God today, okay? Because God's got a plan for your life. You're too important to Jesus. And I don't know who this man is beside you, but Lord, I speak healing over him right now in the name of Jesus. And I decree life into him right now. I thank you, O Lord, for his life. I don't know who you are, so it's not an accident that you're here. I don't know if you're a regular, but it ain't an accident that you're here. God brought you here today, and God has a divine appointment to settle with you, and God is summoning you, okay? God ain't gonna be satisfied with 50%, 70, or 90. God wants 100. You understand? He wants 100, okay? So let's give God 100, all right? You are loved of the Lord, but it's time to go all in. Don't go feet first, go head first. You know what I'm saying? Dive in. Let's dive into the deep, okay? That's what God is summoning you for. You are loved of the Lord, sir. And God has loved you. Wow. He's loved you all your life. And there's times where you really wondered if he did. There's times, there's a lot of things that run through your mind. And the enemy is real to you, even though you didn't always know it was the enemy. But the enemy's real to you, sir. And I want you to know something. The enemy has tried to lie to you your whole life, but you're still here. The enemy lost the battle because you're here. But the enemy needs to lose the next battle for you to relinquish all. You understand what I'm saying? You need to relinquish all. Give everything to Jesus. Ma'am, I don't know you with a pretty, like, your hair almost matches, like, coordinates with your shirt. God is for your family, okay? He's for your family, and he's for you. You've been discouraged. You've been tired. And there's a lot of times you get tired, you don't know why you're tired. There's a physical attack against your body, but there's also a spiritual attack against your mind and against your family. The enemy has come against you three different ways, okay? So that means he's going to flee from you 21 ways, okay? I come to let you know the symptoms are about to change. It's about to change in your life. And God is going to give you the victory, okay? You have needed the victory, and God's going to give you the victory. Don't let your heart be troubled. You have a troubled heart, and you worship God with a troubled heart. The Lord says, no more. No more. You're going to lay it down. Matter of fact, I want you to come here for a second. I want you to come here. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I would do the same thing if I ain't going to ask you to do nothing I wouldn't do. I want you to take this trouble, and I want you to imagine it in your hands, and I want you to put it down right there at that altar. And you, when you leave it there, you leave it there, because you're the world's worst about picking it back up. You understand me? You leave it there, because when you leave it there, you walk in doubt and fear. You don't walk in faith. Okay, God is God enough to do what he said he would do, okay? What you give God, he'll save. If you take it back, you can't save it. What you give God, he'll save. You give him your finances, he'll save it. You give him your kids, he'll save them. When you're ready, you put it down. Only when you're ready, you put it down. But you won't pick it back up again, mama. You don't pick it back up again. In the name of Jesus, go ahead. Honey, I don't know you. What's your name, mama? Diane. Diane, is this your husband? Soon to be husband. God hears you, Diane, when you pray. Do you hear me? He hears you when you pray. Okay. Don't let any interference come in. Do you understand me? Do you understand when I say interference? Don't let any interference come in. Don't give Satan any foothold to be able to nullify what God's trying to do through you. Okay? More than anything else, the calling to pray is on your life. Okay? You do what you're called to do. And God's going to take care of your finances. Okay? Now, God's got some finances set aside for you. God's going to move financially for you. Don't even worry about the finances, okay? God's going to take care of that. So just put it in the little memory bank of your mind. It's a closed chapter. God's taking care of it, okay? You understand me? God will give a sustenance, a continued sustenance or a continued stream of income. Lord, I release it over her life in Jesus' name. And Lord, I come against what comes against her, and I command that attack of the enemy right now that comes against her mind, against her body, go by the authority of Jesus' name. Who is that woman to you? Is that your wife? Oh, that's a precious thing. I don't know you, but when I looked over at you, thank you, babe. When I looked over at you, I saw the word faithful. I saw the word faithful above you, and the Lord has found you faithful. Now, you may not think you're faithful. You're probably most of the people who don't think they're faithful are the most faithful. But the Lord wants you to know He is gracious. He shows gratitude for your faithfulness. And the Lord wants you to know that he's going to answer your prayers, and he's going to answer even some of the prayers you didn't even speak with your mouth, that have been in the recess of your heart, that you didn't bring to God because for whatever reason you felt like you couldn't. But God's going to move in those areas, and God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Mama, I love you. You are so blessed of the Lord, and God put you here. You are more than just like a charter member of this church. I don't even know if you are. You are a pillar of this church. And God put you here. And there are times where you feel like you don't do enough. There's times where you feel like I can't do what I used to could do. There are times where you feel like you are so just, what's the word I'm looking for? Like you don't measure up anymore. But the Lord wants you to know, mama, that you measure up. And that whenever you say the name of Jesus, that heaven hears you. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you say the name of God, heaven hears you. And God is moving in your family and will continue to. But I see it's generations down. God is moving generations down in your family. And the Lord wants you to know that nothing is lost. Okay? The Lord wants you to know that nothing fell out of his hands. Do you understand me? That whenever you dedicate something to God, it's God's. Whether that person or that thing knows it or not, it belongs to God. And the Lord says, you made a dedication. And the Lord says, the Lord is going to make right what you made right. And the Lord is going to enforce what you gave to Him. And the Lord is going to move in the lives of those that you love. Even now, there has been a floodgate in heaven opened, and something is being released toward people in your family. So just understand this, Mama. The Lord is for you. And I speak life into your bones, Mama. I speak life. Osteoporosis, you have no right there. I command you to go from Mama's life. In the name of Jesus, leave her body now. I command calcium rebuilding over your bones now. Bones be fortified. And the spirit of fear that you... Fear of falling. I come against a fear of physical falling. In the name of Jesus, fear, go and leave her now. Spirit of fear. Hey, beard man, I don't know you, and I don't know you, but the Lord knows you. You're not here by accident. You are not here by accident. You understand me? The Lord brought you here, and the Lord wanted me to tell you that He brought you here. Remember the word of the Lord. Dig in, take root, and take up burden. Do you understand what I'm saying? Take upon you the responsibility that can be given unto you. Plug in and take your place here. Because the hand of the Lord is upon your life. Lord, wake him up in Jesus' name. Lord, give him some wake up. If you need the Lord to touch you physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, I want you to stand to your feet. If you want a touch from the Lord physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, stand to your feet. And I want you to come up here, especially if it's physically. Come up here now, quickly. Quickly. I'm not going to waste time. Our time is short. What is happening in your body? Your shoulder, what happened to your shoulder? Rotator cuff surgery. So that's the real deal, right? So if he's had surgery, doctor's already cut on him, and it still ain't right. It ain't healed. Y'all, it ain't healed. Did anybody in here know a healer? I said, anybody in here know a healer? Can I get anybody in this room who has faith? Anybody at all? I want you to say yes if you believe God's a healer. I want you to say this. Just take your arm out as far as you can go, like that. As far as you can go. Just, without hurting. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against faithlessness and I come against the spirit of doubt. And Lord God, I speak over the rotator cuff. I speak over every ligament, every tendon. I speak over the muscle to come into alignment with the word of God. And then I come against an unbelieving spirit. I was just hit by an unbelieving spirit. It's an attack of the enemy. You unbelieving spirit, go! I take authority over you. I release faith in this house. Right now in the name of Jesus, I command everything that went wrong from the doctor to go right. I command life into this arm, into this rotator cuff. I command every missed thing by a surgeon to come back into alignment with the word of God. Lord, heal what no man can heal. And Lord, I speak healing, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I decree, Lord God, every bit of pain, go. 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 Go in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak mobility. I command stiffness to go in the name of Jesus. Stiffness, go in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I speak healing to the uttermost. Lord, I thank you that all pain leaves him now. Pain. Every bit of it gone by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for restoring to the uttermost. Put that arm down. Put that arm down. Try to put that arm back up. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give him full mobility. In Jesus' name, I thank you for full mobility. Lord, without pain. Full mobility without pain. That arm went up higher than it did before. Lord, I praise you, Lord, for every sign of your healing work. Put your arm down, sir. Lord, Mama should that he see. Lord, every catch come into alignment. I command the bone to come into alignment in the name of Jesus. Not just the cuff, but the bone. Every bit of it in Jesus' name. Do you need the Lord to heal you? Is that why you stood? What do you need the Lord to do for you? You need the Lord to heal you? Arthritis in your joints? Arthritis. I don't like Arthur. I don't like him at all. Yes, sir, I see it. Spirit of arthritis. What's your name? Spirit of arthritis, you have trespassed against Kathy's body. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command you, arthritic condition, loose yourself from her joints now. In the name of Jesus, I command pain to go, stiffness go, Lord, from her fingers, Lord, from her bones, carpals, metacarpals, phalanges, Lord, that commanded to come into alignment with the word of God, into her knees, into her hips, into her feet bones, into her ankles, into her back. I command the blessing into her back in the name of Jesus. I release it now in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak healing over my sister in the back. Lord, I command the blessing. You need the Lord to heal you. What do you need the Lord to do? Depression. Babe, I need you. My wife's going to take care of this. She's back. My wife's got this. She's got this. You are greatly loved of the Lord. You are greatly loved of the Lord. The Lord is pleased with you. I don't know you, but the Lord is pleased with you. Don't doubt that the Lord is pleased with you, no matter what comes against you, no matter what assignment of the enemy comes against you or comes against who you love and what you love. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak over my sister, and I command the blessing of life over her body. Lord, I command life, Lord God, into her bones or blood. I command life, Lord, into her stomach and into her digestive tract. I command life, Lord God, into the organs of her gut region. And Lord God, I command remembrance. I command restitution, Lord God, over the synapses of her brain. In the name of Jesus, I command to the uttermost that the enemy that has come against her with infirmity would go now by the authority of Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for restoring to the uttermost that which the enemy meant for her evil.